Well, good evening, everyone, and I hope you've all had a nice break during August and they were back to work. Before we get going, is there any questions anybody would like to ask that is not on the agenda?
Are we going to talk about the donkey field?
Well, what's happening now?
Or shall we wait till
We haven't got it on the agenda, and there's no planning application in or anything like that, so we're pretty well stuck to do much about it.
Except they've chopped trees.
I can tell you what I know so far.
Okay.
Right, well, on Saturday, I expect you know two trees were cut down. That seems rather cynical to me. You know, it's over a 200-year-old oak tree and a mature ash. So obviously something in the offing, but we don't know what. And you can't really comment on something until something, you know, how can you comment on an application if you haven't got it?
Isn't it against the law to just chop trees down?
Well, I don't know if anybody knows Maureen Haggerty.
Yeah, I do.
She phoned me today because you might have saw that I put up on next door the shocking sight of those two trees cut down, and which was a bit upsetting. And anyway, she phoned me today. She knows quite a lot about TPOs and that type of the way the council works. And she's phoned someone at the council today, and they're going to come and look to see whether we can get TPOs on the remaining trees before it's too late. So I can't really update you on any more than that. The rest is just supposition.
So Barry, there were no Hi, Barry. So there were no TPOs on those trees?
Not a single TPO in Solaby Road.
Wow.
I know, it's a shame. Phil?
Hi, can you hear me? Yeah, we're supposed to be having nationally a tree planting program. These are mature trees that actually do take the carbon out, and they're not new ones, you know. Is there some pull with the Isle of Wight Council there in terms of we shouldn't really be taking mature trees down? We're supposed to be planting trees. So forget about the TPO thing for the minute. I think we can put a big question to the Isle of Wight Council Planning Department as to why this is happening.
I would think that somebody, Eton College and the field, we know that much. And somebody has given these contractors instructions to go and cut trees down. You know, for what purpose, we don't know. There's no notice given. Do they have to? Thelma?
Yes, sorry I'm late to join you. I was in another meeting again about the field. I went up this afternoon and talked to the guy, the two chaps up there, tidying up the, you know, the wood that they've, from the two trees they chopped down. And I just played the innocent bystander and said, you know, such a shame that these trees have had to go. Were they ill? Was there something wrong with the trees? Is that why you've taken them down? No, he said the big oak on the corner of what we lovely call the donkey field, there's a huge well under there, a vast well, which nobody knew anything about. It's been covered up. And the surveyor that you spotted, Barry, two or three weeks ago, has discovered this well, and it will affect, he said to me, the engineer who was doing the trees, it will affect the drainage. Drainage from what, I said, to where? The donkeys were never bothered about any drainage. Why are we worried about drainage? And he said, because of the development that he has heard is going to happen in the field behind the donkey field, which is, I think we know it as the farmer's field.
Yeah. Between there and the football field.
And he said the drainage will be affected. So tomorrow, one of the engineers is coming down to go down the well. They will be taking samples of the soil to see what is happening down there. That we'd obviously know they're going to find all sorts of clay and bits and bobs. And I said to him, goodness gracious me, this is all very exciting. going to happen next? He said, I don't know, I'm just a chap that cuts the trees down. So I said, well, as long as you don't cut that lovely tree down in the middle of the field. And he said, well, that may have to go, but of course it will affect the drainage line. So I know no more until tomorrow afternoon. I think I've just been with Mike Randall from next door, just filling him in. I think he's planning to go up there and have a chat and see if we can find out a bit more.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. There's obviously plans afoot to do something with the field.
Thank you, Vilma, for that. Obviously, we can't do any more until we know any more. So, unless anybody wants to say anything else about stuff that's not on the agenda. Hello, Dave. All right.
Barry, sorry, just a quick one more. We're speaking about these trees. Yeah. Are they anywhere near the location of this house that has supposedly been purchased?
It's behind it, actually.
Directly behind it.
Directly behind it, yeah. Which is why
it's the corner of Solent View Road. The lady that sold the house, she died, didn't
Robin,
she?
Robin, wasn't it?
Her son inherited the house. He lives in Canada.
Yeah.
And according to a neighbour I met, who lives on the corner of Matthews Way and Solent View Road, the couple buying the house, because obviously this is a front, said how lovely it was because of the beautiful views.
Mm, I know.
And the lady who lived there, did you know her, Barry?
No, I only knew she was the oldest woman in the Isle of Wight, is that right?
She knew she didn't own that piece of land. The walkway through.
The
ransom strip, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what we were told when we moved here 20 years ago. It was known as the ransom strip.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, just to say there was talk about contacting planning about it, but it's nothing to do with planning at this stage.
No.
The parish council ought to check with Willis, the tree man.
Maureen Hacking is on it.
We have done, Kevin.
Oh, right.
No. Yeah, we're on it.
Yeah, that's the right. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Any more on that before we open the meeting properly? Any other questions?
I didn't know whether it was going to be covered by something else, but I wondered whether the governors had got back about the Gibwell Field.
No, not yet, Lizzie, no.
Not yet. Okay.
Okay. Okay, guys. Right. So, have we got any apologies? So, Rory's not here?
Yeah, Di is working, unfortunately. Councillor Tucson is working. I'm going to shoot, and now Councillor College as well.
Okay.
But I was talking to him the other day. There we go.
Anybody got any declaration of personal or prejudicial interest for any of the items on the agenda?
No.
I have.
Rebecca?
Yeah, number 12, I suppose, and also Peer House on planning.
Okay. Right,
Item 19.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Rubin. Yeah, Councillor Rubin's got a prejudicial interest on that one. Thank you.
So, to approve the minutes of the meeting held on the 20th of July.
Could I say something about that?
Yes, Jo.
The thing you said about what I said about Hersey Nature Reserve, we've got the words a little bit wrong. One, it was not vandalism of the hide, it was vandalism in the reserve, and I didn't use the word vandalism, it was antisocial behaviour. So we had antisocial behaviour in the reserve, and where you put the reserve is closed until further notice, it's the hide. So if you could change the wording around reserve to hide and hide to reserving, and if you change the word vandalism to antisocial behaviour, that is exactly what I said.
So is the councillor going to propose that and give me the wording, please, and then the councillors have a vote on it? Thank you.
I'll propose it.
Yeah, and the wording, please.
So I think it says that the Hersey Nature Reserve suffered vandalism of the hide. Actually, we suffered antisocial behaviour in the reserve. Beer bottles, barbecue things and things like that. We didn't actually have what I would call vandalism. It was
antisocial behaviour in the hide.
No, in the reserve.
In the reserve.
Oh, in the reserve.
And the hide is closed.
Yes, not the reserve.
To a further notice. So I propose that. Would anybody like to second that?
Second it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Right, so Brian, your turn.
Okie dokie. So we sent a letter a couple of months ago. I think it was one of Councillor Adams' items to the Isle of Wight Council, asking them if they would consider a moratorium on all major planning applications, and received a letter from Ben Gard in which he's explained that a motion has been put forward by Councillor Lilly to discuss this along with a root and branch review of Isle of Wight planning during COVID-19 restrictions, and that will be the next Isle of Wight Council planning meeting, which I think is later this week. So they responded to us, let us know that actually that's incorporated into a lot of other reviews they're looking at the same time. The Seaview Dinghy Park, one of the gate locks had seized up, and that's been replaced in the last week at a cost of £37.35. The Environment Agency have been in touch with regards to requests raised in May about testing the water emptying into the lagoon at the Hersey Nature Reserve. Their testing facilities have been shut for 5 months, but have now opened an active investigation, which they're going to be looking into stuff potentially coming from farmland and other industrial areas around it. Clean White Cleaning reported to us that one of the Wallgate machines at Pulpwell Park had developed a fault and was staying on permanently. A case has been raised with Wallgate to investigate this, and an engineer will be turning up on Wednesday, the 23rd, to do that. Clean White Cleaning also reported that the alarm deactivation button at Seagrove Bay toilets has been damaged. The damaged housing has been taped off while waiting for T&L Electrical to source a replacement button for that. Last month, we also discussed how the ladies and disabled toilets at Pupwell Park had become damaged and how those systems have been installed and replaced. The Wallgate engineer also turned up to fix Seagrove Bay on the 1st of September, where we had two machines out and they've been serviced at the same time and now working. Since the last meeting, Wicksteed have installed all the new play equipment and a new bench at Kerryfield's play area. They've also replaced all of the chain swings and the cracked toddler swing chairs as well. And those swing chairs cost £314 plus VAT. The external audit of the council's annual return is concluded, and the final report is now on the parish website. I wrote to the Isle of Wight Council about vehicles parking on double yellow lines in Gully Road on the approach to Ferncliffe Road, and the Isle of Wight Council have provided the parish council with a dedicated email address for reporting violations like that in future if people see them. But there's no special phone number or no other way of contacting about that. After the last meeting with Council of Water Systems, we wrote a letter to Paul Thomas, the Isle of Wight Council Assistant Director of Regeneration, for an update on the Isle of Wight Council's plans for development on Eddington Road. Paul Thomas has responded to explain that he took an options paper to the Housing Members Board in August. He explained that the decision was taken to progress the site and market it via agents with a brief of best consideration for developers to offer a balance between land value and affordable units. So in other words, to test the market with 35% on-site affordable housing being the minimum. He did say he noted that best consideration is not the same as the highest price, allowing other factors such as the need for affordable housing to be taken into account. This approach allows a housing association or private developers to make their best offer and should give the Isle of Wight Council the market intelligence to make an informed decision and balance a priority of land value against the need for affordable housing. And this process, they said, will begin later this month. So there we go. And that's it for my report.
Hey. Right, planning, Dave.
Believe me or not. Right, delegated decisions. First one, Pupwell Hill. Decision granted. Retrospective application to remove the existing concrete base, construction of swimming pool and the pavement terrace. That was granted. Now, I believed we had a query on that with regard to covenant. I don't think we're going to hear any more back about that. I'm not sure if Brian done a letter to the council on it, but I remember a query being raised. But that's the decision in front of us. Next one, wishing well, land at and adjacent to Westbrook Lodge, Oak Hill Road. Proposed two detached dwellings, new access and parking, revised plans, enlarged site area and corrected certification. Decision granted. Number 4, Mulberry Way, Ryde, Isle of Wight. Proposed outbuilding, forming workshop and store. Granted. Mm-hmm. Uplands, Calford Road, Ryde, Isle of Wight. Demolition of porch on south elevation. Proposed single story extension to north elevation with roof terrace. Proposed single story extension to form utility room to annex. Granted. Last one, High Meadow, Seagrove Manor Road, Seaview. Demolition of conservatory and roof structure. Proposed new roof structure, extension and rear balcony. Alterations to window doors and materials. Hard landscaping, revised plans. Decision granted.
Dave, just so you know, the next item on the agenda is the one just to approve the minutes of the last planning meeting, which I sent out to everyone last week. So it's just for you to, yeah.
So to approve the minutes, there were 10 planning on the 19th of August 2020. There were 10 members of the public and one member of the press in attendance. Under the 21-day rule, the following planning applications were discussed. Closing dates for comments was the 21st of August and the 11th of September. No interest were declared. The minutes of the previous planning meeting held on the 6th of July were approved. Applications for consideration. Land rear of and adjacent to the Wishing Well Public House, Nettlestone. Construction of 9 eco pods for tourism use.
Dave, just say, no, you don't have to go through the decisions. You can just see if everyone approves and take it.
I'll just say, have we all read the minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, are we all in agreement? Any queries?
Cool.
Right, so I propose we pass these minutes.
Okay. Does anyone second that?
You want to second it?
Yeah.
Okay. And you can have a vote. Sorry, guys, you have a vote. Yeah, Thank you very much,
everybody.
Right. Thank you, David.
First one, Pier House, Pier Road, Seaview. Replacement sea wall. This one looks very technical. I think it's necessary. Can't see any problem with it. Don't fully understand all the technicalities with it, but it looks very professional and well in keeping with what's going on down there. Has anyone, no comments? Has anyone any objections?
Yeah, I think a huge, great, long bank of concrete is going to really spoil the look of Seagrove Bay.
Well, it's only going to be...
It's concrete the whole way along that wall, which used to be stone, and it's going to look awful. I don't know that there's anything that can be done, but it's going to look absolutely awful.
It's. I agree, Becky, but you must. I think you need to consider a fair proportion of that is going to be underground. I think if you look at it from what they've said about the height of the new proposed wall and the existing wall, I believe it's only an increase. Of 400 millimetres.
Yeah, it's any of it being concrete is going to look awful in my view.
Becky, I think the trouble is, if you start at the old slipway where the cafe used to be, it's concrete all the way to Pier House. The whole wall.
The precedent's been set, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that they use the new house at the end and that nasty... piece That's of concrete there, but I don't know why that was ever allowed, because it looks absolutely awful.
It doesn't look very attractive, but I've been down there in a force 9 easterly, and I've seen waves coming up the lane almost to the square.
Yeah, no, I know why it's there. I just think it's bad. What I'm saying is, however much is above the stones, it's bad enough, that small block at the end, to have a whole great long... wall of it's going to look awful. I don't know that we can do anything about it. But
no,
I agree.
Aesthetically,
it's going to spoil Seagrove Bay completely. That's just my opinion.
So what do you propose we do? What would you like us to do?
Have you got material grounds to object to it, Councillor Hardy? Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't know that we can. I wonder whether we can appeal to them to somehow, you know, I don't know, not have just a huge, great, long... I mean, it's a long wall, that wall.
It is. Right. I think also, Becky, I'll say what I said again. You go back to the slipway and you come all the way along, it's all concrete. You've got Pier House, which is at the moment broken concrete, with a relatively new replacement slipway. Then there's a little flight of steps up, isn't there? And then it's all concrete again, all the way round where the pier is.
But it's not. There's still a wall along. There's still a wall along from Pier House to where Vilma is. Yeah. I just think it's a huge shame. I don't know that there's anything we can do about it. But.
The problem is, Becky, the owner of Pier House, the structural engineer, has said that he has to replace the wall because the whole thing is slipping gently.
Yeah. I know, I just wish there was some way we could, I don't know, ask him to put green in it or something, or just something that would make it look less horrible.
Yeah. Can I make a comment?
Maybe we could have some artwork along there.
Will the bridge come in?
Bridge.
Why a lot of places, along all the sea defences, particularly along the Dover, etc., Ride Along Ride, all that stuff along Springvale, is all solid concrete faced with stone.
Well,
there's no reason why the parish council can't ask for it to be faced with stone.
Well, could we do that then?
It wouldn't be that dear, and it would
make a huge difference.
Free haste. Yes, I agree.
Well, could we take a vote on it? Because I'd like to propose, and I agree with that, because I think that would look far better. Why don't we propose that we try and put a motion to the council that they face it with stone?
Yeah. Okay, Dave, just let's bring
Joe in. Outside of that, I don't know what we can do.
Could I just say that along the Dover and along Springvale, it's faced with stone on the landward side, but not on the seaward side.
Very good point, Josh.
When it was faced with stone on the on the landward side, there was no way they accept that the view from the sea was as important as the view from the land.
But you can't view it from the land on that bit. You can only view it from the beach.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, Busy. That's what I'm saying. Well, from the seaward side, you would have to look at what they call seascape, which is what it looks like for people coming in from the sea. And I don't think that would have an equal weight as what it looks like from the landward side. But here, we got them to do at least the landward side, because originally it was going to be just plain concrete both sides. That's correct, isn't it, Reg?
No, it was always going to be stonework on the inside to match up with Springvale. It went right along Springvale.
I don't remember that.
You see it, it's all the same. I remember it. I was involved in it.
I know.
Okay, Dave, can we go back to you, Dave, please?
Yeah. It's Barry, I don't know, like Becky, I don't know where we go with this one. It's obviously, it's a serious project. I would imagine it's very, very expensive.
Yeah.
Whatever they put in there has obviously got to do the job. I mean, particularly in view of all these supposed sea level rises we're going to be getting in the future. It's, I agree with Becky, 100%. I don't think the concrete facade of it is particularly pretty.
Just to let you know, Dave, some planning training I was at last week, they brought up this kind of scenario where a parish council can say you're going to support it, but with a condition. So you say, we would support it, but we would ask that the fascia is changed and describe that fascia. But just to let you know, what happens is, even though you put that in as a support, if when the Isle of Wight Council talk to the applicant and the applicant can't comply with that, then our decision gets treated as an objection. It's just a technicality to let you know.
Before we do that, it's just another thought, talking about aesthetics. I know for various flooring projects in that, with concrete, they have different moulds and they can actually make it look like stone. Is there some form of mould they could put on it that would make it look like a stone, and when it weathers in, okay, it's still concrete, but at least it would have the appearance, at least when it's new, of looking like stones.
Mm. I would go for asking for the stone facing. I think, you know, they're not short of money, are they? It's not going to cost that much to make it look pretty with real stone.
Well, we have nothing to lose to try and preserve the character of the beach, do we?
I think
it's...
What do you think most people in Seaview and Nettleston would prefer?
Stone.
Stone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think what's there, Reg, is very nice. I'm just looking at the picture of it now. And it looks lovely. So I think we should propose that.
Yeah. I've got pictures of it from before we turn of the century where it's stone.
You know, try not to lose the whole character of it.
Exactly.
You know, I think, and I think it's perfectly reasonable to ask them to try and, you know, whilst we appreciate they need to do the work, that to maintain the character that has been there for however long.
Right, can I propose then that we put forward, we'd like the face change to stone in keeping with the existing.
So a proposal to support the application with the condition that they change the fascia to stone.
Yes.
Before we make any, and I'll come back to you, Dave. Philip just wants to make a quick comment.
No, can I? Can you put it? Oh, can I? I completely support the concept of stone, but I think in West White, weren't they doing some experiments by creating kind of little mini shells and sort of concave pieces on concrete, and they're encouraging algae and sort of plant life, sea plant life. Did anybody ever see any of this? It seemed to be quite successful.
It's not really relevant at that end of the beach, though, because it's never really underwater.
These things collect water, and so there are these kind of little reserves of water where things actually do grow. But it's just a thought, just in case they don't allow the stone.
Okay, Philip, great. Thanks very much. Let's go back to you, Dave, and we'll concoct some work.
I'd like to propose a stone facade.
Okay.
I'm very happy to second that.
Okay, let's have a vote, guys. Oh, sorry, Dave, it's your job.
I'm forwarding it.
Okay, are you all voting?
Right, who seconded it? Sorry, it was Councillor Hardy seconded it, wasn't it?
I seconded it, yeah.
And that looks like unanimous, does it? Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, moving on.
Right, second one. 33 Solent View Road. Replacement fencing. Now this one, no comments. I think it's a straight replacement. I couldn't see, I had a real problem with this one, with the site. I couldn't obtain all the information I wanted. But I've got a couple of outlines of the position of the fence they want to replace. And I just can't see any problem with it at all. They're talking about in places increasing it to 8 foot, but it's on a slope and it's in line with what's there. So I propose we go with that.
I agree.
So you're supporting Councillor Hardy.
Anybody, I don't mind.
Okay.
Can you do the vote again? I missed that, sorry. So, Sally's vote was unanimous. Great, thank you. Thank you.
Right, number three. The Shoot, Gully Road, Seaview, Isle of Wight. Proposed decking with balustrade to the existing flat roof at second floor level. Replacement double glazed UPVC windows. Right, I've had it again. No comments.
Put that on.
I've had a look for it. And
extenders.
Finished. It's part of it. I've had a look for it. And in my opinion, I think it's an improvement. It looks absolutely smashing. I think it's well in keeping, not intruding on anyone. And I'd like to approve that.
Yep.
I'll second it.
You having a vote?
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Right, number four, 11 Orchard Road. Right, this was the only application this month where we had a comment against it. One of the neighbours is concerned about it being out of character with the existing houses. Now again, in my opinion, I'm looking at it, I believe it actually enhances the houses that are there. It gives them a bit of form on the front and a bit of character. I don't believe it's oversized. Everything's in keeping. And again, I think we should support it.
I don't really agree, actually. I thought the fact that they called it I know it says proposed front extension here, but on their plans, they say bay window, and it's a great deal more than a bay, it's a great deal more than a bay window.
It's a porch, isn't it?
Well, it's, yes, it's quite a bit more than that.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
They changed a porch into basically an extension of a room.
I quite liked it, though. I think it looked better than what was there.
Aesthetically, in my opinion, I don't see any problem with it at all with what's around here, but we're all entitled to our input, so let's have it.
Well, I agreed with the man next door, to be honest. I can tell you that. So,
recommendations, Dave?
Well, I'll recommend we go with it.
Okay.
I quite liked it. I didn't think it was that big.
So are you having your vote of support? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And are you doing against? Thank you. And I think that's everyone accounted for in that one. Unless I've miscounted.
Right, number 5, the chute again. Land between the chute and the boathouse. It's this on the chute, this is an application for a garage on the parcel of land next to the WCs. Island Roads have put in a recommendation for refusal on the basis of it's too small. It contravenes the minimum size. I believe it's too small. I believe that site there is unsuitable for a garage. I think it will interfere with what we've got now with the WC. We've already had problems with the WC, and I think it's important we need to leave that land clear for maintenance, etc. And I would recommend that we turn that one down. We don't accept that.
I agree. I think we should use the same, you know, we should agree with Island Roads, as it were. Yeah.
I agree with that, Dave, because I fail to see how they can actually build a single or a double skin wall there without joining it to the toilets.
Yes, exactly.
It's the room, is it?
No. Barry, what car could they physically put in there once they've constructed the wall?
Yeah.
You know, unless you've got a Robin Reliant, what would actually go in there this day?
Yeah, that's right. Smart car. 2, probably.
Yeah.
So, your recommendations, Dave?
I'll recommend we go with Island Roads.
I'll second that.
They're going to object to the grounds that Island Roads have pointed out is too small. Yeah.
And overdevelopment of the site.
Should we have a vote on that?
So I'm still scribbling. Well done. So who was seconding it? Sorry, I missed that. Oh, thanks, Barry.
Yeah, and they were voting.
Yeah, and... and Sally, are you objecting?
Yeah, I typed object.
Oh, cool.
In the chat.
So it's a unanimous objection then, thank you. Sorry.
Right, Vernon House, last one. Oak Hill Road. Replacement garage with a glazed link. Again, with this one, no comments. I would have thought Roy Collins would have been best to comment on this one, but he isn't with us tonight. Again, looking for it, I've had a real good look for it. There's no difference to the height. There's just a small glazed area from the rear of the garage across to the house. And it looks, in my opinion, I think it's very, very nice and in keeping with everything and not doing any damage at all. And it's basically a straight replacement for what's there. And I'll propose we go with it.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah. Okay.
Has it been checked for bat occupancy, please?
Good question.
What, the existing garage?
Yes.
Should it be?
I think it should.
Okay.
Well, we can raise that.
So you could support it, but also we can ask at the same time, can it be checked for bat, as long as there's no...
Providing the existing garage has no bat occupancy.
Something like... Yeah, so...
Thank you.
Did anyone see anything on the application about that? Because I didn't see anything about checking that on it.
No, but then, yeah.
No, but it's a good question.
It's only something that Roy mentioned to me, and he's not here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just I didn't see it on the application, Joe. So it just raises concerns whether I've missed something or, you know.
But, yeah, so we can support it as long as there is no threat to existing bats in... Existing garage.
It's a bat population in the existing garage.
Thank you, Councillor Harding.
That's right.
Because I noticed today, that little garage, as I walk down there, it's very overgrown, isn't it? Is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
The roof is all overgrown and.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand it.
So, Councillor Adams is proposing that. Is anyone seconding that?
I'm happy to.
Thank you. And then you're having a vote? Yeah, thank you. Well, I've never written that before. To do with bats. Very interesting. It's the first time for everything, isn't there? There we go.
Go, what's a colony of bats called? What do you call a bat house?
Wayne Manors. No, Wayne Mansion. Wayne Mansion.
Oh, very good. Yeah. That shows your age.
It's a battery.
Yay!
Oh, okay. Well, that was an assault.
I think they just call it a roost, actually.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Have we got any more, Dave?
No, that's it. That's okay,
well,
no appeals either.
The next thing is reports. So, Reg, you got anything to say?
Yeah, right. To start off, Tuesday's planning meeting has been cancelled.
Oh,
right. You were talking about the meeting, well, it's been cancelled. It's been a bit quiet at the moment, as you know, with the COVID and all. I've continued to send all the reports I get round to the various groups in the villages. I'll go right through them, if you like, including the Parish Council, British League and Pomwell residents, the Yacht Club.
Community Partnership,
yeah. There's about eight at British League, there's about eight and all. So what I've found, I've spread around to help everybody, really, that's basic. And I shall continue to do so, although it's sort of quiet and down, but I've got a feeling that it will start up again. And when it does, I'll let everybody know what's going on. The council had its annual meeting last Wednesday, which was a bit late, and things are more or less as it is, except that the Tory administration have now taken over the scrutiny side as well, which was traditionally an opposition member chaired that. In fact, there's only one person of the opposition that has got a chairmanship on the council now. That's myself as chair. I've been elected chair of audit. So apart from that,
elected chair of what?
Audit, the audit committee.
Audit.
Blimey.
Yeah, yes, you can say it.
Scrutinising, surely.
There's no scrutiny now on the council because every chair of scrutiny, all the panels and the main committee, is chaired by the administration. So how the administration can scrutinise itself, you tell me.
Really,
but then that's the way things are, and I don't want to be political.
No.
I won't dwell on it. But apart from that, things are just ticking over now. I mean, but all these meetings are done. They use a thing called, I was going to say, for Teams.
Yes, right, Rachel, Teams.
What you use, Zoom,
yeah.
I think is easier.
Yeah.
Teams is even more complicated because you've got to send emails in when you want to ask a question. Sometimes by the time your email gets there and someone picks it up, they've moved on to another.
Yeah.
I think Zoom is much friendlier to use, but the council won't use. Everybody admits it is. All the parish councils use Zoom.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I heard the Yellowite Council was tied into Microsoft Teams because they're paying for it, and that's why they're using it.
Well, no, I don't think it's paying for that. I think it's they deem it to be more secure.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Zoom people have been able to get into Zoom and interfere with meetings. Not that anybody would want to interfere with the parish council meeting, I'm sure. But that's what's happened, and the Yellowite Council won't risk it, which is fair enough. But where we don't have that many meetings, I find it myself personally. I have to familiarise myself with it. You've got to use these sort of programs. The more you use them, the more the easier it becomes. And I think Zoom is a lot easier, personally.
Reg, Joe just would like to ask you a question.
course you would, yes, go ahead.
Hello, Reg. Just a quick question. As you know, Luke Ellison has moved on to Pastures New. Luke Ellison was the coastal engineer, but he was also the manager of the Hersey Nature Reserve, and he was brilliant at that job, and we're going to miss him terribly. Is there any way you can find out how he will be replaced or who will replace him, please?
I didn't even know he'd moved on.
He's gone to the...
That's the way things are. I mean, well, I didn't know that they decided to put to auction Eddington Road until somebody on the parish council told me. That's the way it is. At one time, there'd been a coastal protection chief who did nothing else, the likes of what's his name?
Robin McGuinness.
No, not, yeah, Robin McGuinness even.
Yeah. Peter Marston.
After him, Peter Marston.
Yeah, Peter Marston.
He's doing contracts or something. So he hasn't got his finger on it. I don't know who will be in charge of coastal management now, but I will make it my business to find out and let you know.
Thank you. I know that at the moment I have to send everything to Peter Marston, but the day-to-day stuff, you know, like, for instance, we're very lucky this weekend because although we had very high tides and easterlies, water was gushing through at the end of the Saltons, but I know that Luke would make it his business to make sure that the gates were shut for that, and they weren't. And it's just a question of finding out who do you prompt. So if you could find out who that...
Definitely find out for it.
That would be great.
Luke was one of them officers who would let the local member know what was going on in his ward.
Absolutely, and he let local people knew what was going on as well.
Yeah, that's a rarity now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but I would be really grateful because, I mean...
I will sort that out tomorrow for you.
Thank you, because I keep sending stuff to Peter Marston, but I never get a reply.
No, because he's tied up with this Island Roads contract.
Yeah. Thank you, Reg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's about it, I think.
Okay. Thank you very much, Reg.
Community partnership.
Yes, please. Community partnership. Becky.
Okay. So, no events, unfortunately. The community partnership is still working on the website and the leaflets. Slowly but surely. I think somebody was furloughed, so couldn't carry on with the work, but is now back at work. And the other thing is that Men in Sheds are still looking for funding, still working hard on funding and meeting. I think you're meeting via Zoom, is that right?
We have had some Zoom meetings. And...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that's it, really.
Okay, thank you, Becky. Right, it's the Seagrove Pavilion Trust, and I'd like to ask the chairman of the trustees to give us an update, COVID-wise, etc. Thank you, Kevin.
You're muted,
Kevin.
That's a good one. Just to report to everybody that we're pleased to say that the pavilion is COVID secure for the way that we're managing it and the processes that we have put in place. And as part of that, to ensure that any users can keep the two meter distance because of the general age groups of the people that use the pavilion, we've stipulated that we will only allow 12 people on the premises at one time. We presently have the guides and bounties starting up shortly, which is good news. Football club has been playing matches up there since end of July, and the petanque, which will go into carpet bowls probably now, I should think, with the weather coming up, they're still operating. The Seagrove Art Group had a running their workshop 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately didn't get enough support to continue it. So we don't foresee other users coming onto the premises at this stage, especially as the government are likely to announce more guidance this week, which will probably tighten things, and probably for the age group again. I think a lot of the new guidance is going to be talking about older people staying at home and all that kind of stuff. So we don't envisage there being much more use of brilliant. Yeah, so I think that's it, other than the financial side of it, which you do need to be aware of, and that is that despite that, we have absolutely no qualms that we could operate another full year of 2021 without it impacting on our finances if we didn't get any further user support. So our viability isn't affected as things stand. Are there any questions?
Kevin, on the driveway going up, I think we ought to compliment the football players because they've worked out filling in the potholes, haven't they? That's going up to Seagrove Farm Road.
Is that who did it? I didn't know.
I think talking to Roy, I think it was the footballers that actually filled it, and it was getting quite dangerous in some sense. So well done.
Did you want to say something to Kevin?
It was only to say that I will be coming back probably when the weather turns at the end of the week.
Reg wants to say something.
And Reg wants to say something.
Well, don't forget you can have two sessions for the price of one because of your clever people. Yeah. And just another thing while we're talking about it, if you wanted to use any other slots temporarily.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Then you just put a request in and we'll just make sure that user's not going to want it, and certainly Monday afternoons, we know the fun choir, for example, won't be able to. Wednesday afternoons, likewise, the Seagrove seniors. So there should be
Reg, did you want to comment?
Yeah, just to say on the potholes, one of the players works for this firm that's doing the white fibre, and some stuff that was left over, he very kindly bought up there with a rammer and filled them in. It's an ongoing thing, though. It could really do with some more. They left a little bit up there, but I don't know what the answer is, really. I think sometime in the future, we're all going to have to get together and spend some money on it.
Mm.
I think Kevin would agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the problem, as you know, Reg, is tying the Isle of Wight Council down because it's road and not island road. So, that seems to be the issue at the moment. As you know from the work we did with Island Roads originally to try and see if they would support doing that bottom there. It's because the lorries reverse into there and they skid and they just throw it all out. As you'll see already, the whole talking about that were filled in literally in the last 2 weeks has started to unload. And it's just purely the large vehicles. You can see the size of the tyres that are just flipping it all.
The bin lorries use it, and the Isle of Wight Council aren't going to put anything into it. I spoke to the Rights of Way, because there is a Right of Way up through there.
That's right.
He said he might be able to find a small amount from his budget, but it's going to take a lot more than that. It's going to take the residents, the football club, the pavilion, that sort of thing, to do something a bit more substantial.
Proper metal road.
Proper road, I don't think that'll ever happen.
Well, if they're going to do a development up there on what you're calling the farm field, they will have to do it, because if you remember, they tried to get us to do it when we built the pavilion.
Yeah. But it won't happen.
Kevin.
Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Nelson Registrants Association.
Hello. Mark, did you want to say anything? Mark.
He's muted.
No, I'm good, Trish. I'll let you carry on.
All I was going to say was we're obviously as concerned as everybody else about the donkey field or even the field behind it, both of them. But we're not taking our eye off the ball as far as Gidwell Field is concerned, because we're still of the opinion that the decision that was actually made on that was a very flawed decision. I busy asked the clerk whether there was any reply from the school. Was there any reply from the Isle of Wight Council? Because you wrote to them as well, Brian.
No, no reply, no response from him either.
On behalf of the Residents Association, can I just ask if chasers are sent on those two items? Because we are not letting Gibwell Field go at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
What's the response?
Yeah, you said you will.
Yeah, can I just say that it's very important to keep these paper trails going. I mean, there seems to be a consensus that nobody's put in an application for the Donkey Field. I personally think we ought to be one step ahead on that. And I think that a strong attitude over something like the Gibwell Field, I think should be reflected also in what's going on at the Donkey Field. The Residents Association is actually getting emails from people down in Seagull who are seriously concerned about what's going on and asking the Residents Association whether they can be of any help. The communication's open. We'll see what happens. It's obviously it has to be a concerted effort by the whole community, but we mustn't forget Gibwell Field.
Agreed. Finished.
Joe, you'd like to say something.
It might be a thought on the Donkey Field. Had we thought of doing a Freedom of Information request to see what pre-application discussions had taken place referring to the Donkey Field?
I can't say too much. All I can say is that somebody's on that case.
Okay.
Sorry, Barry, could you repeat that? I missed that. Sorry.
I'm led to believe that somebody's already on that case, finding out if there's any pre-applications and things like that.
Okay.
You're muted.
With respect, whoever said that, I can't remember who
it is. Barry.
Barry, yes. Is this being done through the council or done privately? Because it has greater effect if it's done through the parish council.
Nothing's come to us because there's nothing that we can do because we haven't had an application. I believe it's someone who's got a house up the road somewhere. Yeah. Who would be affected?
Can I say, Barry? I disagree. Sure. I disagree. Please let me finish. I disagree with you in terms of the fact there's nothing we can do. The parish council can be proactive and should be proactive in asking now. It takes 20 odd days to get the response through, and then they say, "Oh, we can't do it because it's going to cost us too much money." So I think we ought to do it now.
Could I just cut in on you there? I think Barry mentioned a key word earlier. Someone mentioned pre-application. So why don't we as a parish council put in a Freedom of Information request for anything that's gone on there? We have nothing to lose, and it may strengthen our hand in the future for protecting the Donkey Field and the field behind it. Because whoever's operating up there at the moment, they obviously have serious intentions because they've started felling trees. Mm. To fell a 200-year-old oak tree, Barry, at the back of that property, it's setting alarm bells ringing for me.
Yeah.
And if we can do something as a parish in the sake of an email to protect that, I think we should try and set that in motion.
Well, just to keep everything nice and legal, Barry, you're probably going to have to call an extraordinary meeting for that for 7 days' time or something so we can set that up as a single point to do that and spend the money, because we haven't discussed it. It's not an agenda. It will cost money, and I don't want to get us in trouble.
Could I say something here? It doesn't have to cost you a penny. You ask for it. They tell you that it might cost. You say, fine, go ahead. Okay. You get the information, and it doesn't cost you a bean.
If we went down a different road to save the 7-day time period, what if one of us councillors put in a Freedom of Information request asking
for it? Absolutely. Anybody can.
We could get Reg to do it. Any of us could do it.
You're muted.
Okay. Please, can we all understand the council has got far more clout because it is an elected body. And I think that we have to put in a Freedom of Information. I mean, pre-planning or whatever. I think we ask several questions and try to cover every aspect of who's been speaking to whom, including any emails potentially from the agents of Eton School. So we ask multiples of questions about any correspondence. It doesn't have to just be email. It can be letters. And we can do it and it's not going to cost us anything. They might claim it will, but it's not going to cost the parish anything whatsoever.
Right, no. As Brian said, as this isn't an agendaed item, can I just make a suggestion that we have the extra meeting?
And yes, set things in motion. I would... Hang on a minute, Rach.
What would you hope to learn from knowing that somebody had approached the planners to discuss an application or a possible application on the field?
Oh, my. It's a paper trail. It's a paper trail.
Yes, but...
Anything you can do to put the squeeze on them is the thing to do. If they respond, if they say no or whatever, and they have, we can probably get them at a later date. But it puts us in a stronger position to have the evidence to use to fight later. I mean, this is what we've always done, I mean, in other places. I'm sorry. And it works. Because the buggers think they can just get away with it all the time.
I would be surprised if there wasn't a site that was possible to have residential on hasn't been spoken about in some form or another to the planners. That goes without saying. If you ask, was there a pre-planning application talk about this, or any sort of talk to them, there's bound to be. I would be very, very much surprised.
We're asking for email.
But what would you go?
We don't just want them to answer the question. We don't want them to just answer the question that there has been correspondence. We want to know what that correspondence is. And I think the community needs to know what the threat is. We can't do anything unless we know what the threat is. And then we can start pushing and asking questions, either embarrassing people, even embarrassing Eton School. Whatever it takes, this is the way to do it. Not nicey-nicey to the Isle of Wight Council, I'm sorry.
Before it becomes a brownfield site overnight, you know.
Oh, I agree.
In your opinion, it might help you. I can't really see how it would. I'd bet at the bottom dollar that there's been application talks at that site, as there is in every field around CU and Nepston. And they won't tell you the details of who said what. Why should they? If you were going to build on your back garden, why would you want anybody else to know what advice you've been given or what you haven't been given? How will that help you?
Barry, they are legally obliged to give us that information. They can't withhold it. If they withhold it, they are breaking the law. And we can find out later on whether or not they are withholding it. They may well come up with a load of excuses, but we just keep challenging them. Otherwise, that field will be built on.
Okay, right. Let's go back to Dave. Dave, take what you say about let's call an extraordinary general meeting, Brian. Is that okay?
Extraordinary parish meeting. Yeah, so like for a week tomorrow or something like that, and that way it covers it and it'll stop me resigning.
I just think we need to discuss it properly, Barry, and it'll give us more time.
I mean, it wasn't an agenda item. It's come out of nowhere. We've got to try and keep some sort of order and decorum to our meetings, not just bringing up random stuff.
So I would like to move on.
Do we need a special meeting, or can we just put it for the next meeting?
Well, it's not. I mean,
it depends how urgent you want to wait.
I mean,
I think if we wait another month, we might get behind the curve.
Yeah. Okay.
So if everybody's happy, we'll have another meeting next week or thereabouts as soon as we can.
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Okay, well, I'll propose that we do that. Somebody want to second it?
Second it.
And we'll vote. Okay, we'll do that. Right, and IWOC. Is that you?
On the Gibworth side, right. In Seaview Lane, on the entrance to that field now, there's a lot of work started on the Gaelic Park.
I thought that. I think it's actually Holgate Lane they're redoing, but I'm not sure.
But you think they're using that as a bit of a storage area?
When I walked along there the other day, it looked like they were repairing the lane. Because I immediately thought they'd started, but I'm not sure what they are. They are.
They're in Holgate Lane.
Yeah, that's good.
They've got nowhere to store it, so they're storing it in that little bit opposite.
I saw it and I thought, oh no, give
that. That's what I thought, Biz, when I saw it. Okay, IWOC.
Right.
Dave?
I'm not fully up to date with IWOC this month, so I must apologise, but I'm assuming we've all had the circulars. One thing that came up, the AGM's been put back. They're proposing that we can have face-to-face meetings now, as long as we're COVID secure, but they're suggesting we carry on with the Zooming. It's one thing that did crop up, which I feel was very important, and it's going to come up on, I think it's agenda item 10, changes to the current planning system. And this, we need to get right on the ball with this. And if I could put this off until we hit item 10 on the agenda, I can cover it there in detail. So that's it for now.
Okay, thank you very much, Dave. There's no other reports?
I think the Nature Reserve.
Yeah. Okay, so just to reiterate what I said to Reg, we've lost our reserve manager, Luke Ellison, which is going to be, we're going to sorely miss him because he's done stalwart work for years now. I've continued doing a weekly litter pick ever since we had all the worries with, you know, barbecue leftovers and things like that. The litter is considerably less. There is a fence broken by the weir. I have reported that, and I have asked when it will happen, but the maintenance work this year will take place, but I cannot tell you when. But the fields will be cut at some time within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So if anybody's asking about litter or the broken fence, it has been reported. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Right, item number 8. This is a change to standing orders. So I'll put a little bit of meat on the bones with that. It was what it came about to do with the proposals to change Westridge Cross traffic arrangements. Do you remember? And they wanted to put more traffic lights there and things like that. And we replied saying that, has anybody looked at a roundabout option? And they came back and they said, oh, no, it's too much of a land take, blah, blah, blah. Unfortunately, it was a bit of a perfect storm because we weren't able to reply and there wasn't enough notice before the end of the consultation period for us to call, like a week's notice for us to call the planning committee to reply again. So I suggested at the time that if we could change our standing orders to enable our responsible financial officer, Clark Bryan, to be able to respond on our behalf. Well, since then, another school of thought's come up with treat that gone now as a one-off and we will consider things on their own merit as they approach, rather than changing the standing orders. What do people think about that?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
So what you can do is you can basically vote to object to this and we can move on if you're all in agreement. Yeah. Because we've already proposed and seconded it, so it's a vote all in favour, and if anyone puts a hand up, they put a hand up, and then vote all against. Yeah. So,
okay, because we had a conversation about it, and quite rightly, somewhere in the future, someone might look back and say, why was that done?
It would give somebody in my position quite a lot of power to, if they were quite lazy and couldn't be bothered to organise meetings, to go around putting their own spin on everything, so it wouldn't be there.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been that idea.
Yeah.
So what are we're agreeing to object, is that what we're doing?
It's a bit weird. You have to go ahead now and say who supports this motion, and if you put your hands up, it's sort of going against what Barry's suggesting now, and then when you go to who objects to it, and if you all put your hands up, then we sort of throw the motion out and move on.
Okay.
So I propose that we bin the idea.
Barry, you've got to ask who's in favour of this motion, and hopefully no one's going to put their hands up. Or if they want to, I'm not telling anyone what to do. Oh, no hands. Right, no. Who objects, Barry? Yeah.
I object.
Yeah, right, who's objecting?
I'm objecting.
Excellent. Sally, are you objecting? Yeah, thank you. So we've objected to that, and we won't be giving a future despot in my position a chance to go around.
That's what I was so worried about, Brian.
Yeah, me too.
Authority to fill sinkholes.
Yeah.
Right.
That's enough power for me.
Neilston Hill Interpretation Board, Sally.
Okay. Lynn.
So did you want me to try and share the mock-up of the board for you?
That would be really good, yes, please.
Let me try and do that,
So Joe and Lynn and I have met a couple of times, and Lynn and Joe have done a sterling job in terms of the visual and putting stuff together, and we think we've got something that's pretty close to going into production if the parish council are happy. The idea is that this would be a metal A2 sized information board about the Barnsley Trail, and would show it in a map form, which hopefully you'll see in a minute.
Hopefully it's in, I don't know how you'll see it, because obviously it's on my screen.
Yes.
Very good.
So everything's gone at my end.
Can anyone see that?
Yeah, it's very good.
It's small.
It's a bit small, but I can get the general idea.
Is it getting bigger for you all?
Yes, it is getting bigger.
Oh, yeah, that's better. Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
So it would be aluminium. The background would be the light blue, and then the text would be numbered, and then that would be referred to in the map. And it's going to be positioned at the very top of Pond Lane by that seat and that viewpoint over to the Solent.
So top of Farm Shoot.
That's it. Thank you. We're quite pleased and excited about this, and we feel it may well be one of many, but we'd like the parish council's support to take this further to actually production. Lynn kindly got some costs to actually buy an aluminium board and fit it, and probably it needs a new post, would cost in the order of £170, we think. And then if you walk the trail, which I know Joe and Lynn have done, there are some areas which probably need marking with signposts, finger posts. And there is one, a Barnsley Trail squirrel, which is delightful. And we thought we'd like to use that as the basis. And they're £18 to make and £22 to fit. So each sign will be about £40. And I suppose I thought we might need 5 of those, but I don't know. So the total budget is looking in the order of about £360-370 for one interpretation board. But this should last a long time. And then the QR code you see at the bottom right can be picked up, and behind that can be much more detailed information, which we still have to decide what that is. But I don't know if anyone's got any comment or questions.
Then there's the cost of having the map, Sally.
Oh, that's right.
Are there any Barnsley Trail leaflets still around?
Well, we wanted to go down the sort of paperless route, really. So it will be an app, I suppose, or something that you could load up on your phone.
Have you got one for reference?
Yes, we
have got the old leaflets for reference. Yes,
we used the very original one, and then after that there was one that was produced by Southern Vectors in conjunction with the Ramblers, and so we've used those. Any information that was on that we thought was important, we have asked to be included in our new map. Okay. The basis of this is what we're assuming is that people will just take a photo of this, and then they've got the map. And if they've got a smartphone that can pick up the QRL, that can take them to what we're hoping will actually go on our parish council website, which would be much more information, because the history is just a background history to everything that they're going to walk along on the Barnsley Trail. So that was the basic remit that we worked with.
Now, my only thing is, it appears just to be Sea View. I mean, Barnsley Trail is Barnsley Farm, which is most of it not even shown.
Yeah, basically, the reason why we're redoing the map is that this map, the guy we've talked to, made this map for the Sea View Retail leaflet. So what we asked him to do is to create a map that is of the Barnsley Trail with other stuff in.
Rather than just Sea View,
yes.
Because the parish is a lot bigger.
The whole point of this is just to show you what it's a mock-up of what it might look like. And the guy making the map is making a specific Barnsley Trail map.
Yeah, I'd like to see the whole of the Barnsley Trail on it rather than just...
It has, yes.
Brilliant.
And including, you know, including Galley Dragon Stream, Barnsley Farm, the old mill pond, the walkthrough, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant, that would be good.
Just as a little aside, that QR code, I think it's a jolly, jolly good idea, and not shouldn't just be on that board. That go on every notice board in the parish. And then people just use the QR code.
We had thought, Barry, of the little finger signs that Sally mentioned that are going to be around and about on the trail. Okay. We could put the QR code on some of those finger signs as well. So if you happen across the little sign, you can use the QR code and then access the map from there. So
turn out again, Brian, I think the squirrel finger post is below this, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That leaflet should be actually ready to download on the parish website. We had it put on there about 10 years ago, so I think it's still there. You can actually download that Barnsley Trail leaflet.
I've got one.
They're all available, Kevin, you know, like not just that PDF, but there's also the Southern Vectors PDF. But we just thought if we had on our own parish council website, you know, the revised version, basically, the newer version.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so.
So our proposal really is, would the parish council support this, and would they allow us to spend in the order of £370 to make this a reality?
Right, what I have to say is, and it's the, we haven't budgeted for this, but as responsible financial officer, I think from other things like money we put aside for the parish plan, that covers quite a big chunk of it, and we don't have any plans to actually reproduce any more of that. That's £250 of it. And then it just comes down to the question of how would it be funded. If the parish council wanted to take it on as a project, we could look at the figures and bring it back next month for it to be agreed to. But also, if another organisation like Community Partnership was going to do it and wanted to apply for a grant, then probably there would definitely be money in the grant fund that would more than cover this, and that wouldn't be an issue. So that also could be approved at, say, like the next meeting if it was to come up. So there are pots of money available for things like this. It just depends how it's going to be funded.
Is it something, Brian, that we could put on the agenda to discuss that for next month?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I'll second that.
I think you've done a lot of good work, Sally, and it's be nice if we can find a way to pay for it.
Good. That's the right
option. We'll put on as a funding option for next month, yeah.
Can I say something?
Yes,
am I allowed to say anything?
Yes, you are.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Estelle Raymond, and my garden backs on to the Barnsley Trail, and very proud that it is. We did have many years ago a sign just at the same site that you're talking about, and sadly it got vandalised. I imagine you are putting this sign in exactly the same place.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Estelle. Yes.
And I think that is very good indeed. We get a number of walkers along the Barnsley Trail, and especially during lockdown. I've never known it be so busy. We do get a lot of dog walkers, and if there is any chance that there could be a sign about dog fouling, that would be really good. Not on your beautiful sign that you've designed, but if there could be the odd little dog fouling signs, you know, £1,000 fine if you leave your dog poo here, that would be good. Anyway, I applaud all what you've done, Sally and Joe. Very well done.
Lynn.
I'm sorry, Lynn. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so
you have to just come in, Barry. I'll put my hand up. You don't seem to be seeing.
I was just going to
remind Lynn that the artist already has the artwork for Nettlestone and Seaview Parish and the Community Partnership from the original leaflet that we did with him for the walk.
Yeah, we met with him, Kevin. We had a lovely meeting with him. He's perfectly au fait with what we want to do, and it's a bit of a blend
of all the leaflets that exist at the moment. So he was really, really good to talk to, and I think he's fully on the case with what he needs to do to just use what we've already got and just make, and going back to what Busy was saying, it needs to include a lot more uphill towards Nettleston as well. So, yeah, we've used him, Kevin.
Thank you, Lynn.
And basically, I think what he was has agreed to certainly do a draft for us is to have a bird's eye view of the Barnsley Trail walk as if you were right up in the air looking down on it.
Thank you.
Sally,
are you...
Yeah, so should we as parish councillors ask if the community partnership would take this on in terms of supporting it for a funding bid? It's like us asking for the money through a different route.
Yeah, that's something by next month. That's something you can have talked about in the background and see which option seems most feasible. The grant money is a pot of money that's definitely available for such a project, and it is there, whereas we haven't actually budgeted for this in any other stream of money. Sure. But as a grant thing is available to community-based projects like this, and this would very much qualify on the grounds of encouraging tourism or whichever legislation you want to look at, it wouldn't be any legal issues or that kind of thing, and there is money there.
Is there a ceiling per grant, Brian?
Not particularly. It's just how much it makes. We have actually got a finite grant fund, though, so we've got £3,500 in it for this year, and we've spent £50 of it so far. But I know £2,000 of it, I think, was intended to try and help out with things like mending sheds, but obviously I think things have slowed up with the actual development of their dedicated shed this year, haven't they? And that sort of stuff.
Thank you, Brian. Are you okay with that, Sally? Are we moving on?
Thank you
for that. Dave, national housing consultation to discuss and agree the council's approach to the housing numbers white paper.
Right. This item.
You carry on, Dave. Just excuse me for a moment.
This is very, very important, this item. It's I'd like to propose here, I'd like to put three motions forward. And the first one being, I would like support from our parish council, if we're all in agreement, to support Bob Seeley. Because Bob Seeley has a new paper out, and the paper is called, it's the Isle of Wight Housing and Land Use. And if we agree to support Bob, I would like our clerk to copy in Bob Seeley, obviously, Dave Stewart, Barry Abrahams, the iWalk and the CPRE. And this is urgent because the deadline is the 1st of October and this housing consultation must be addressed. I feel without it, we're leaving ourselves wide open to lose the donkey field, the field behind it and anything else that may be coming down the road. So this needs addressing urgently. The second motion is the consultation document. This is the same thing what iWalk were on about earlier. Changes to the current planning system. Once again, I'd like a letter put forward, if we're all in agreement, obviously, that the parish council rejects the flawed morphology being proposed by the government, which would continue the onslaught of the concreting over of our island without any consideration to the indigenous housing need, whilst at the same time destroying the tourist economy. Again, I can't emphasise enough, this is urgent. We need emails in to Dave Stewart, Barry Abrahams, the Chief Executive, Bob Seeley, iWalk and CPRE again. Also, to contact the government website, which I have an address for, which I'll give to Brian later. The third motion is possibly the most important one. It's pressure. I would like us as a parish council to pressure the Isle of Wight Council. And our question is this. Are they debating the National Housing Consultation, specifically the flawed numbers? And to be clear, this is not Jenrick's white paper. It's not Jenrick's white paper, which we have more time to act on. It appears officers are not doing what they should. This is the Isle of Wight Council officers. And again, I stress urgently, time is of the essence. We need to get an email in to Seeley, Chief Executive, Barry Abrahams, Dave Stewart, Eyewalk and CPRE again. That's it.
Right, Dave, if you'd like to take each one in turn, you've got a lot of detail there, which is great, but I'm not that fast at writing, so can you read out motion one again, and I'll do my best to capture it, because I haven't got any of this.
I'd like to propose a motion.
Yeah.
About Parish Council. We see if the council support this first, because we need to take a vote on this.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to capture what you're proposing.
We need to support this as a parish.
Have we seen what Bob Seeley has said?
Yes. And if we haven't, we all need to look at it urgently. I've seen it, and basically, he wants to reduce the Isle of Wight housing figures to 200 houses per year, and he's trying to get exceptional circumstances for the island through Parliament.
If anybody's got that, can you send it to me? Because I have not seen that.
I mean, I've seen it reported on in the newspaper. I haven't actually seen the.
I haven't
seen it as a paper as such.
Well, Miss Becky, unfortunately.
Can I come in? In smaller houses, isn't he? One and two bedrooms as opposed to.
Yeah, yes, it is what we want. I just didn't know that it had been published in a paper.
I just bring Mike in. He wants to say.
Yeah, I mean. In some sense, it helps me because of the past housing association experience. I think what we've got to look at is Bob has been working on this since he became our Member of Parliament, and he's communicating with the Isle of Wight Council. He's in communication with Dave Stewart, the leader. I fully back what Dave is doing, but I think we need to follow it up to highlight that Bob is very good at the bigger decisions, making them. He's put a lot of good parts to bring into the island, NHS and other items. But it's like, for example, we've had the two meetings in the parish to do with the Gidwell that Bob turned up. But he hasn't corresponded with Dave following it up. He hasn't followed with myself on other issues. And I think as a council, it would be good that we had a strong word to highlight that we as a parish are concerned of the number of units. We agree with his philosophy, but it is government that makes the ultimate decision. And it's the Isle of Wight Council that then go by the government rules. So we can only back what David is saying, but also if we do write to Bob supporting it, he's got to be shown that we've supported him right at the start, but he's not really backed us up in proper communication back with councillors. And, you know, and as a council, we are concerned on that.
Agreed. But also, Mike, at the moment, to me, setting aside any of my small personal grievances with Bob with regards to responses and that, I appreciate he's in an awkward position and I've really put his back up to the wall with some uncomfortable things. But at the moment, I still feel, I've got to say hand on heart, that I feel he's our best bet. And we try and drive this through, because the critical figures here are, under the new consultations, they're talking about 1,045 houses plus per annum.
Yeah.
Bob's trying to reduce that to 2. Now, if he can do that, the Gidwell site will fill the side. We've got to look at the bigger picture. You know, what's gone is possibly gone. If we can turn it round, we can turn it round. But if we can't, we've got to try and move forward. And I think this is really, really important to us as a parish to put our views out there. And also, I'm going to contact Eyewalk tomorrow individually, and because people need to be made aware of this. And I think the problem is, and I think even the Isle of Wight Council, and I can't stress this enough, I don't think the Isle of Wight Council are aware of this national housing consultation. I think they believe it's the white paper. And I would like our clerk, if we can agree on this, I would like Brian to get these emails out tomorrow. It's very, very important.
Okay. Dave, can I just hold you there? Because I've got Kevin and Dave both want to comment. I don't know who put your hand up. First one to talk. Go on.
Okay, right. I'm in. I just want to remind Dave and everybody at the last meeting that we had with Bob Seeley that, as someone else outlined earlier, his belief is that we should only be building one and two bedroom houses. And in fact, if the Eddington Road development came up and was just one to house development, he would be supporting that. He made that clear.
Okay. Dave.
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 Hi.
I think what he's done is brilliant. It's a one and a lifetime opportunity to reduce the housing figures on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
He's saying that we shouldn't build on brownfield sites. We shouldn't have something like Westridge, 470 houses, which is ridiculous. Mm. No infrastructure. I think the whole document, to me, is absolutely superb. He wants two-bedroom places for young islanders and one-bedroom houses for people retiring, so we can give them the living two- or three-bedroom house that are sort of wanting to downsize. The whole thing seems to me a real good opportunity to make the Isle of Wight a very special place that it is, without ruining it, filling it with housing estates, that there's no infrastructure, one hospital, et cetera, et cetera. I think the council should support it and forget about what's happened in the past. And if this goes through, I think it will be good for the island. I think not just this parish council, I think St Helens, Bembridge and everyone should support this. That's my feeling.
Thank you, Dave. I just want to say, it's still about this, some of you will know, I poodle up and down the River Medina most days of the week in the boat. And when you get to a place called Kingston, there is a very large Barrett housing estate there, which is stopped in its tracks. So you've got all the roads and infrastructure and all the plots, but they've stopped building there because they can't sell them. They've stopped at Island Harbour. They can't sell the Hazes of Pan Estate. And what I'm going to say is I think that all these large applications like Westacre Farm, Harcourt Sands, you know, it just goes on and on and on. I'm not sure, Nate, that we're not getting to a different scheme called land banking.
Yeah, but also,
I agree with you there, Barry. It could well be, and I think some of these big companies, they play games.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's very important that we have to show the Isle of Wight Council our intentions.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to represent the people. Many people are unhappy with all this proposed development that's supposedly going on.
Mm.
And I just feel we cannot leave this because of the deadline. And for the sake, at the end of the day, it's three letters, it's three emails. And I would like us to come to some consensus tonight and get it moving.
Your proposal forward again then, Dave, so we can all vote?
Yeah, so if you could just tell me the wording for number one again.
Then we can debate.
Yeah. Right. Brian,
Dave, just before we go ahead, Trish has got her hand up and she's got something very quick to say.
Yeah, sorry. It's really, what he's doing is this consultation, I've been working on this in Oxfordshire as well as everywhere else, and I know that a lot of people have missed it. It's only just suddenly come to the fore, and Bob Seely has been part of actually bringing this nationally to everybody's attention. And it's a new algorithm that they've produced, if some of you don't understand, as a proposal to actually set the numbers for housing which will go into local plans. If this gets accepted, then it means, as Dave has said, it's been calculated that the Isle of Wight's numbers would increase from what the standard methodology says now at 688 to 1,045, that's per year. And what Bob Seely is actually saying in his document is that there is not enough infrastructure on the Isle of Wight to build more than 400, which is why there are sites like you've just quoted, Barry, that are left open. But that doesn't make any difference as far as the national politics are concerned. Once you've got those numbers, you're not achieving your 500 housing supply. So it's free-for-all for every developer and every field that they want to actually put in for. So I hope the council does actually accept that and goes along with Dave's proposals.
Thank you, Trish. Dave.
You did. Right, I put forward the motions, yeah?
Yes, please. Number one, please, Dave. Well, number one, wording.
This is the National Housing Consultation.
Yeah.
I would like to propose a motion of our parish council support for Bob Seely to show our support for his paper, which is called Isle of Wight Housing and Land Use. And if we agree to support Bob, I would like our clerk to copy in Bob himself, obviously, Dave Stewart, Barry Abrahams, Iwalk and the CBRE.
I second that.
On that one, Clark. Dave, on that one, can you not add in Chris Quirk because he's the planning chair?
Yes, point me, yes, yeah.
And what about
the Isle of Wight Council, you know, everyone possible.
Yeah, parish clerks as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Isle of Wight parish clerks. Okay.
I'll second with it, the proposal. Anybody want to vote?
Very second.
You don't think?
1, 2, 3, 4. I think that's everyone except Sally, I think.
Yeah, sorry, I was just writing something down.
Thumbs up.
Oh, you're agreeing. So that's unanimous for that one.
Okay. Right, the second motion.
Dave, sorry to be a bit thick. Literally, though, this is just an email, so I haven't misunderstood. Were these people copied on just saying that as a parish council, we officially support his paper?
Yes.
You're not? Great. Good. Yes. Just make sure I actually understand. Thank you.
The third one is probably the most important one, but I'll cover that when I get there. Right, motion number two, the second motion. This is the consultation document, and this is the one that iWalk have sent out on their round robin, which we should all have. This is changes to the current planning system. What I propose on this one, I'd like to propose that the parish council rejects the flawed morphology being proposed by the government, which would continue the onslaught of the concreting over of our island without any consideration to the indigenous housing need, whilst at the same time destroying our tourist economy. Again, this is very urgent.
I'll second that.
Dave, so when you're saying we're rejecting it, in what context? We're writing to someone, we're filling a form in?
We're rejecting the numbers and questioning the numbers and the morphology, the whole process.
Yeah. But to someone in particular...
Yes, to Dave Stewart again.
Oh, brilliant, Stewart. Thank you. Yeah.
Barry Abrahams, the chief executive.
The same people.
Okay. And also, one copy to the government, to a government website.
Yeah.
Which I will give you the details later.
Thank you, Dave.
I think Mike seconded that, didn't you, Mike?
Yep.
Okay, can we have a vote?
Can I abstain on this in the sense that this national planning consultation is a huge document, and I have to say I have not read it all yet. And that what we've picked out tonight is just one element of it.
Okay,
okay. Can I make a comment there? Yep. It's not. Sally's fallen into the same trap. It's not the white paper.
No, I know. It's a consultation.
It's not actually a big one. I can promise you that a company called Litchfields has actually gone through every authority in the country and worked out what it means, and the actual official figures for the Isle of Wight, 1,045 per year.
Yeah, at last week's training, the Isle of Wight Council, Ollie Bolter said that as well, and like I said, that they agreed with that figure. They'd seen that, and that's what they thought it came out as well. So
it's the difference between us getting a possible 200 houses a year and 1,045.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like Barry's saying, they may not be needed from what is evidencing at the Medina.
Yeah.
They aren't needed.
So,
third point, Dave.
Number three, motion three. I'd like a parish council again to pressure the Isle of Wight Council. And our question is this. Are they debating the national housing consultation, specifically the flawed numbers? And to be clear, this is not Jenrick's white paper, which we have more time on. It would appear that the officers are not doing what they should. Again, this is very urgent. We need to know, in no uncertain terms, are our Isle of Wight elected officers questioning this national housing consultation.
The same distribution list, Dave.
The same distribution.
Yeah.
Somebody want to propose that?
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Did it? Very second.
The vote. Sally?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Unanimous. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave.
I'm sorry I'll be so brief on it. We have... haven't really got the time to go into too much detail, but the bottom line to me is, Barry, ultimately, it may preserve the donkey field and other fields like it. Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Well, I think we're all fed up with loss of fields, aren't we?
I think we ought to compliment.
Because this is still you, the neighbourhood clan.
I think we ought to compliment Dave on the hard work he's done on preparing all this.
He's the right man for the job. And I always well done.
Thank you. Right, then you might not think that now. That one is neighbourhood plan.
Go on.
Right, the good news is, I think we all know this, the grant funding has increased to £18,000.
Ooh, no, I
believe their next step is for Brian to consult with the Isle of Wight Council, because we need to define the parish boundary and to consult with them to designate the area of the neighbourhood plan. This is very important, and it's only the Isle of Wight Council that can designate that to us. It's the other main thing in this. This is obviously a major project, and we will need to employ a consultant. I believe the average cost is £30,000 to £35,000 for a plan that is seeking to allocate sites. Of that £35,000, it will come down to £12,000 to £17,000 once the grant funding is factored in. So the cost to us as a parish, if we're going to try to designate sites, which I would like us to do, will be £12,000 to £17,000. I think it's something we need to look at later in the year. I also believe it's something we need to seriously talk about, maybe putting something on the precept, because I think it's everyone's interest.
That's the thing, Dave, as you pointed out, Councillor Adams, we obviously haven't budgeted for this year, but that is something that can be built into the budget when we have the around November, December, when we have the finance working party. That's the sort of figures that can be built into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, nothing's going to happen on this overnight. It's quite involved. But once again, it's just making the general inquiries and trying to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, so I've got there a bit of an action for me, Dave, just to clarify with the Isle of Wight Council our exact parish boundaries.
Yes.
Cool.
Could I add something there then?
There you go.
Yeah, I think the thing that really has to be clarified is whether the parish boundary that we have that comes down Papgall Hill is our outer boundary, or whether, because under the Ryde Development Plan, their boundary was pushed to Oak Hill Road. So a big area that we need to confirm is still in our parish is the bit between Oak Hill Road and Putpool Hill.
Thanks, Joe.
This is why Brian needs to speak to the Isle of Wight Council.
Yeah, thank you.
It would be nice to have a definitive line around everything. We know where we start and stop, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, who'd have thought that Tesco's is in our parish?
Every little helps, Barry. Every little helps.
Oh, boy. Yeah, careful, we're coming up for review.
Always under review.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Right, the community shop. Sally.
Okay, so the community shop is nearly 3 years old now, and it's been going really well. And they have the opportunity to expand by renting what is called Bellevue, lower ground floor flat, which would enable them to increase the square footage of cell space, provide a better office and improved access to storage and things like that.
Sorry, what did you say the name of the property was?
Belvoir.
It's Beaver, yeah, as in Beaver Castle, I think. Yeah, I know it's Beaver. Weird. How do we get a spelling like that? I know that from cricket. There you go.
Sorry, Sally, to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So, at the moment, the management committee are putting together a planning application, and they would like to ask if we as the parish councillors could put that in to the Isle of Wight Planning Department on their behalf, because it would reduce the fee by 50%. And as a community interest company, which the shop is, you know, they need to show best value and do things in the most cost-effective way, really.
Yeah. Sally, do you mind if I come in then? I'll state my case quite plainly.
Yeah.
I feel very, very uncomfortable about that. The parish council putting in an application for somebody else. Whilst I appreciate but it will give us a 50, give you a 50% discount. I'm sure that's not what the idea was set up for. However, I don't want to take all of the bread away. I think if you were to put a granting application for maybe half that planning money, it'd be looked at differently. Does that sound okay?
Any other thoughts? I don't know how to rebut that.
I'm sorry. Well, do you see what I mean? It's just like one government department using another government department to get a discount. That's what I think. And one of the things of my chairmanship is going to be, we're going to be doing everything absolutely right. And I don't want something like that. But I'm very happy to consider your grant application for the same amount of money.
Yeah, I'd say potentially, if so, Barry, with that, we don't have the powers to run a shop. But what we have to do, like everyone else, is you have the section like 137 money, yeah, which I think we can, for our parish, roughly you can spend up to about £20,000. We haven't got that side, but we have got money in a grant, so you could make up the money through there and put it down to that if an application came in.
Sorry, the shop aren't asking you to pay. They're just asking you to put the application through. And in actual fact, Barry, I think since the parish council were the initial contributor to the shop, because the parish council did give the shop a £2,000 grant to get off the ground, that actually I think that there is already a connection between the parish council and the shop.
I totally agree.
And
with
I don't see that there would that this is really a problem since that connection already exists.
I agree with the connection. I just don't agree with the application. I mean, we can put it to the rest of the councillors and see what they.
They've got a couple of other people who want to say something.
Mike.
I mean, I'm a businessman. I mean, I've got the businesses. We gave 2,000 2 years ago. We have got other businesses in Seaview. Now, are you saying, as the community shop down there, you'd like the parish to do it, but you will pay that half because you'll get that discount?
Well,
that's your concept of what you're saying.
The shop is planning to pay it all. It just
I think therefore I can see the logic there. What I wouldn't like to see is that the other businesses in Nettleston and Seaview and myself, where I run a business, we don't get anything. So here, what we're saying is it's not going to cost the parish. Therefore,
no, it's not going to cost the parish anything. And the other thing is that with the other businesses in the parish, that money is going back into the businesses' coffers. You know, if the community shop has money to spend, that goes back into the community. And what you could look at is just that 200 and whatever it is that you're, you know, that's half a thing, now is there ready to go back into the community rather than wasted on a planning application.
My point is the same meat with a different gravy. If you do your own application, pay your own application fee, and then apply to us for a grant.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if a community shop is a viable business and it's
absolutely, and we must support it.
I
just feel very uncomfortable about putting a planning application in for someone else, another government department, just to enable us to get a discount. It just seems something wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think what they're trying to say, Barry, is that the parish puts the grant in, the planning application in. And therefore, what the price, for example, if that price is £500, what it means is because the parish are doing it, that's only going to be £250, but Seaview Community will pay for that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So therefore, do we then do that for everyone?
Yeah,
we can't. The parish puts a planning application in for everyone, the same rules apply.
But I get exactly what you're saying, Mike, but if it's a £250 discount and there's a grant for £250, which we approve, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it seems far more above board to me.
Sorry, Barry, except that the Isle of Wight Council get £500 and our parish is £250
less. It's
worth
less. But that still doesn't justify it.
So you've got to do it for everyone.
Yeah. So, well, we've heard what Sally said and we've heard the other comments. What do we think about it? Anybody? Philip wants to say something. Very quickly, Philip.
Muted. So does Kevin.
You're muted.
I'm a little muted.
Okay. No, you're okay.
So I'm a little curious about how the community shop works. I barely use it. I mean, it's right down there. I do know that most of the houses are second homes. Does the community shop get its boost over a certain holiday period from these holiday homes and remains fairly benign over a period? I'm also interested to know how the community, remember it's Nettleston and Seaview, get something back from it. I'm just curious to know.
Can I begin to answer that? The shop was, it's a community interest company, and there are quite a few shareholders, several hundred. Becky will probably know more than me. So we all own it collectively, and it is a service for the community, and we found that it's bought Seaview Village together in quite a strong way. Most of the people that are in that shop are volunteers, and we try and have it open every day of the year except Christmas Day, and it operates all year round. And yes, we have highs and lows, and of course, you know, during the summer we benefit from the second homers and the tourists, but it's still functioning and is open for the locals, and there are people that live in the centre.
Yes, and on top of that, it's a community benefit society.
It is a commercial business. Yes.
It's a community benefit business. So it's intended to run at a profit for the benefit of the community. I actually am a shareholder, and I have to say that where I live, there are several elderly people along here at the end of the Dover, and they use that shop every day. I see them walking in to get their papers and their bits and their bobs, and they deserve that just as much as anybody deserves a community shop.
Yeah.
And when they couldn't walk in because they were shielded, the village shop delivered to them.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's disputing that.
If you've got
200 shareholders, calling the shareholders chipping £2.50 each, job done.
Yeah.
it's not really the money in itself. It's to try and reduce the planning fee. I think that's the intention that the community shop can pay the planning application. But why give the council 500 when you only need? If we could do it through the parish council to.
Well,
pay
I think it raises the issue that we have to do it for everyone. If we're doing it for the community shop, why don't we do it for the guy next door that wants a building?
Can I bring Dave in, please, Dave? Dave? And then Kevin. Dave?
David.
Muted.
All right, well, let's have Kevin then.
Okay. I'm also a shareholder and agree with everything that's been said about the community shop. However, I do completely understand where David's coming from in the sense that you have to be very careful in creating a precedent over granting or applying for an application on behalf of the shop. I also think, and perhaps Becky you could give us the figures, but I think we're holding quite a lot of money in the community shop, are we not currently?
Have you got a figure?
Well, it's over 40,000, I think, isn't it?
I think they can pay for their own grant.
I think, you know, with that in mind, I don't think the parish council should feel obligated to do anything, really, because if anybody else was making an application for money, like, for example, came up earlier about community partnership asking for support to do the Barnsley Trail, for example, I think it's coming from organisations that, as it were, need the money. And as a shareholder, I think, you know, we've got a very successful community shop that's actually sitting on a lot of money when you consider, as you say, you're a community interest shop, a community interest partnership.
But Sally's point that we, that the idea is to not to be wasting money that's come from the community.
No, I appreciate that, but there's a lot of other, I mean, we had St. Peter's Church coming up for trying to convert their Undercroft. You see what I mean? Is that there's a chain reaction here if it becomes a principle of the council, of the parish council, to support things in that way. Normally the parish council would be looking at the finances of whoever's asking for money to know that they're giving the money in the right way. That's,
and ultimately, we're
it's not this application, it's supporting Dave in terms of creating a principle for the council.
Kevin, can I bring Lynn in, and then I want to bring Dave in because he's back alive again.
Could I just say that I don't think that the idea that the parish council pays less planning application fees than is usually required was meant to be used as a conduit for other people to then say, please, can you apply for this? And you need to be careful.
That's exactly my thoughts. Dave.
Can I say something, please? I'm also a shareholder and I totally wholeheartedly support the community shop. Yes, it is for the second homers, but by goodness me, it is also for the mainly for the full-time live-in people of Seaview. Yeah. Is the community shop a charity?
And it's a community benefit society.
So are you certain that you'd have to pay the full amount of a planning? Are you certain of that?
I'm not. I can hear you all. I hear you well. So I think you're saying no. So I'll report that back to the management committee.
Well, not yet. We haven't had a vote on it at all, Sally. So anybody else want to? Dave's gone again. Dave, did you want to say anything? You've come back again.
Me? I think it's already been said, actually. I just wonder where the profit went. You say it's a community.
He's asking where you spend it in the community, I think.
No, I was asking where the profit went that was made from the shop.
I think it goes
back into the shop.
Yeah, goes back into the shop.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. It can't always go back in the shop, can it?
It would be too much.
Well, at the moment, the shop is taking on another premises. So there you are. That goes back into expanding the shop.
Right. Well, there's definitely two schools of thought here. So I think I don't quite know where to word this, but we're either going to support this or we're not going to support it. Anybody want to make a proposal for the form of words? Or shall I just do that?
Well, I oppose it.
Okay. Sally's already
told you what she's proposing.
Okay, so do we support the application, guys, yes or no?
What you need to do is... somebody needs to propose it, someone needs to second it, and then you'll need to vote on your proposal.
Can shareholders
the proposal? Guys, isn't Sally the proposer?
Shareholders shouldn't vote on it, should they?
Shareholders shouldn't vote on it.
In which case, that's about half of us out of the...
No.
You've got an interest.
No.
It's not a financial interest.
Yeah, no, they can't make you... As far as I understand, you can't make money out of it, can you?
It's not a pecuniary interest.
No. So as long as they've declared an interest, which they had at the beginning...
So my proposal was that the parish council put the planning application in to extend the operating footprint of the Seaview community shop, that thereby saving them, giving them a fee reduction. That's my proposal.
So I propose the parish council put in a planning application to enable a fee reduction.
Right. So
shop would pay in full.
Yeah.
So you need someone to second it.
Second it.
No, I'll second it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right, so all those in favour?
Well, obviously Becky and Sally.
And those against?
Against, suppose.
Mike?
I'm going to abstain.
You're abstaining.
One, two, three. Against and an abstention. Okay. So that's an objection to that. That wasn't carried, that motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, okay. Thank you for
okay,
that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And it's you again, Sally. Parish tree planting.
Yeah, sorry about this. I don't want to dominate the evening.
No, it's planning, it's planning decision enforcement. It's planning decision enforcement.
Yeah. So this is three items that come up on a cyclical basis, which I think we as a parish council have a duty really to take on board and to be proactive about. I hope you saw a summary of it that Brian circulated earlier today.
On Go.
Yes. So it's in relation to the hole-in-the-wall gate onto the Dover Beach. That needs to be closed. I believe it's at the end of October. Is that correct, Joe? Was it the end of September?
Well, the planning condition is not that the gates are closed. What we did was we came to an arrangement, if you remember, Barry, when we had that meeting, that the gates would be closed when they removed the ramp. The planning condition requires the CVU Yacht Club to remove the temporary ramp from away from the beach, not on the car park, not on the road, but away by September the 31st. That's a planning condition of their planning permission. So that's number one. It's the ramp that needs to be taken away. And what this really is about is, because Estelle and I have known, we've got all sorts of planning permissions that have been given around the Hersey Nature Reserve. They've all got conditions either, well, basically of usage, because the ramp is allowed to use the beach through the summer months only. And it reached a point when it's just always down to individuals who are having to get hold of the enforcement team, tell them that somebody's either in residence at Seaview Village or in the beach huts or everything like that. And it's got to the point with the enforcement team that we're supposed to go and take photos and affidavits and things like that. And it shouldn't be down to individuals to be doing that. These planning permissions are given with conditions and conditions only. And it can't be that people think, oh, well, we can just ignore the conditions. And both Estelle and I feel that it's really about time that this was taken on by the parish council as time goes on. So that's what this is all about. Would you agree, Estelle?
I certainly would do. So I back on to the Sultan's, whatever it's called now, Sultan's Village or whatever it's called now, self-catering, and they're only supposed to be occupied 36 weeks a year. Every winter we have several houses that are occupied, and now they're being sold off. Certainly I find it very embarrassing that we have to report that a place is occupied. Why can't the enforcement officer write to each of these people and say, it is your responsibility to vacate on whatever? And I think the same as the beach huts, per se, they're being occupied during the summer and they're not supposed, I think I'm right in saying, Joe will tell me if I'm right, they're not supposed to have sleeping on the ground floor. It's supposed to be only upstairs. Well, that's going by the board as well. And as Joe says, most of these things have been given a permission, have been given a condition, and they're not keeping to their conditions. And so it is the enforcement of these conditions.
Okay. I'll say a few words here. Firstly, the parish council isn't the enforcement authority.
Not at all.
I know you know that. But I think what we might do on this occasion, and if you agree with me, Brian, is maybe we should collectively, or from the parish clerk, a letter to the enforcement office and say we've got this, this, this and this. And then once we've notified them on behalf of the parish council, it is your individual responsibilities to go to the council's website where there is a link specifically for that. Report an error,
So are you suggesting that we write to them saying these are the ones that perennially are problems, and we're pointing them out to you, and we're pointing them out to you in advance.
Yes.
Please act on this when the dates
that's come from us as an authority. But yeah, individually, there is a link provided by the Isle of Wight Council to the input. I think that's right, Brian, isn't it?
It is, and we have it on our planning website, on our new website.
There's a link on it.
In fact, I will show everybody. I will share it and show everybody. Because we can. So, so this is our website, and under planning applications, when we go to it, the second line down is, should you become aware of a breach of planning permission, the Isle of Wight Council has an enforcement team dedicated to investigating this, and a complaint can be registered by the public on the planning enforcement website. And if you click on this, it takes you to the Isle of Wight Council, and then there's the their classic do it online. Where, but there's all sorts of other information there that explains who's in the team, what they do, all that kind of thing. So we've built that into our new website, so it makes it easy for people looking for it. I know the Isle of Wight website can be quite confusing and difficult to navigate, so we've tried to make that easier.
See, I think that's all very great, and I'm the sort of person that do that, but I still think collectively we have to ought to be doing this on behalf of the parish and not leaving it to neighbours, really.
Which is what I said.
That it does say as well, all of the complaints are anonymous as well. They do keep your anonymity. And it's one of those things where it's the administration that is voted in currently on this island has chosen to put that amount of resource into that solution.
Yeah. But again, it carries more weight if it comes from the parish.
Yeah.
I agree. I absolutely agree, David.
And we must pursue them. Because the Isle of Wight Council do nothing. All we get is the response. We must take pictures. We must record dates and times. That's not our jobs. You know, we're all here volunteers.
No, it's definitely not the parish's job. You're right, Dave.
Drive it home to the Isle of Wight Council. It's not our jobs.
I mean, I think,
so that's the letter. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what my view would be at the moment. Yeah. Brian will write a very strongly worded letter on behalf of the parish council. And then we're all able to use the link and do our own thing as well.
I just think the letter is necessary from the parish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I did bring this up two or three meetings ago.
I think you did, yeah.
Highlighting that unfortunately there's not enough enforcement officers on the council to be efficient to what they're doing. Agree, it's wrong, because if there's a planning, they should comply all the time. But
I think, Mike, what you said, I think what we said at the time, and I think it came out later, was that the enforcement officers were reallocated duties because of the COVID thing.
So they've been taken, a planning meeting I went to, a private meeting up at the council with the clerk of St. Helens, it came to the point where they said that their enforcement officers were more or less so small department that it's not coping properly, which is wrong. But, yeah, you know, that's what,
May I come in? I've got the impression from the reporting that I've done over the last 2 years that it seems to be just one bloke. That's it. My point is this. Here we have these planning permissions are given with these conditions. And without those conditions, planning permission wouldn't have been given. So you have to sort of state your case on that. If you cannot enforce such conditions, you shouldn't give planning permission. That's really what it's about.
That's a very fair assessment.
And if I can come in as well and just quickly give my experience of 2 years ago when we had five houses occupied all at the bottom of my garden and, of course, the bottom of my neighbour's garden, both sides. And we reported it and we took photos. We took photos of the occupation, the lights on, the cars outside. The enforcement officer came back to me and exactly as Joe said, he required an affidavit. Well, so Simon Parker, who was at that time my neighbour, wrote an absolutely brilliant email to the enforcement officer and said, how dare you doubt the honesty of my neighbour? How dare you doubt the honesty of the photos? You can tell from properties that the photo was taken at the time. Now, this was during November, December. It drifted into January and into February, and we were still saying these houses are occupied. And then the enforcement officer came back and said, oh, it takes us 28 days to do the enforcement. And, oh, goodness me, at the end of 28 days is the beginning of March when they will be allowed to be there.
Yep.
So, I'm sorry, this is the experience that we have. It is very possible that none of these houses will be occupied this winter. But I'm just putting in a flag now because I think it's the 31st of October. Is it, Joe?
Yes, for your ones it's the 31st of October. For the beach huts it's the 31st of September.
30th. We're putting those flags up now.
Yeah.
You know.
We've got a big gender coming up, haven't we? Still, we've got a lot to go yet.
Yeah, it's 9:20 already, and I know it's past my bedtime.
So we know what we're going to do. Brian's going to write a letter.
Yeah.
Sally, still you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Right. Really, I'd like to pass this on to Lynn, if I may, for an update on some activity of the community partnership. Tree planting, parish tree planting. Lynn, you're on mute. Could you speak to this, please?
God, get rid of that.
Thank you.
It's Joe and I, really, and I probably need to defer to Joe. We've got trees from the Woodland Trust, 102 trees, 105 trees.
Yeah, in total we've got 110 trees.
Okay. And we've already looked at some months ago about where feasibly we could plant them. So at the moment, I'm trying to sort of just whiz through this. We're looking at Sophie Watson's garden, Hersey Nature Reserve, the school, possibly Ansell's Copse, and Sirius Close. There's a little green area above there. So that's where we're planning to put the trees. Joe and I met there this afternoon and had a look at where we might put trees on Sophie Watson's garden. So we're still in the very early stages of doing this. I've just summarised that very quickly, Joe. You probably want to add something. But
what I want to flag up is the trees are free. They were granted to us by the Woodland Trust. The protective plastic tubing, these are whips. So we're not talking, think saplings, don't think trees. These are little whips. They're just sort of that.
Blades of grass.
So they will need a protective surrounding. The protective surroundings we are also going to be given for all of the trees. They will come from the Hazley Nature Reserve and they will be recycled ones. So those are for free. We will need cable ties, two cable ties per tree, and we will need a stake for support. So really what we're saying is that we're flagging up that we're going to, that you already said that you would support this earlier in the year, and what that will cost is a maximum of £125. So we're putting it to you that we will be asking you to support us for the cable ties and the tree stakes for £125.
Thank you, Joe.
Will that come in?
We committed to when we agreed to it.
Like
in the
a
first
grant
place.
Application. Like
grant that. Application.
I think, Brian, that we put through a motion that said we would cover the costs up to us. I think it's already covered. I'm sure we did that.
Yeah, I think we did.
I'm sure we did.
I had to have that in place in order to make the application to the Woodland Trust.
Philip wants to say something quickly before
you move on. My own. I've got a 6-foot oak tree in a pot which I would like to plant somewhere. I was thinking of Sophie Watson's garden.
How about the donkey field?
Yeah, yes, okay, right in the middle. In fact, this brings me to my second point. Are you aware it takes 200 mature trees 10 years to remove the carbon to produce one house?
Yes, that's why we're doing it.
To half a house.
Seriously, we don't know what to do with this oak tree that was.
Okay, well, seriously, I'll put it on my list and I'll talk to you about a possible location.
And do you need people to help plant these trees when they come, Jo?
It's really difficult. Originally, this was going to be a whole voluntary project, and it was going to be to do 2 years after our centennial memorial and things like that. But you have to understand that at the moment, to organise a voluntary project like that is going to be really difficult. So what we
volunteer.
Pardon? Okay, but you know what? We won't be able to have it as a big community event because of social distancing and because no more than six people. So
how far are you planting the trees apart?
It'll be in November. The trees are arriving in November. So that gives us time to talk to individuals to come and do something individually. But quite frankly, to spend the time trying to organise a volunteer community project, it's just a waste of time because we probably won't be able to do it. Luckily at Hersey Nature Reserve, before he left, the manager, he's given me a half a day of Brightstone landscaping. So I know that the 40 trees in Hersey Nature Reserve, that's fine. We could do that. But we will be talking to everybody about how we do Sophie Watson's Gardens and the others. But it will be just be done, you know, we'll never be able to have more than six people together anyway. So thank you very much for volunteering.
Joe, be very, very quick with Philip and Trish's oak because I'm getting a TPO put on it while it's sitting in the pot.
Please do.
I don't want it dug out. Yeah.
TPOs are great. I can't imagine why those oak trees didn't have that oak and ash didn't have a TPO on them anyway. So there we go.
Okay, thank you, Joe and Lynn. Right, okay. So
can I just say, so you will pay the £125 if I buy the stuff?
No.
No.
Of course we will.
I'll leave the trees on your garden then, Barry.
We spoke about it when it first came.
Yeah, no, we committed to it.
Definitely covered in the minute before. That
it was
June or July.
And the tubes were getting, it's less than what I thought because the tubes were being given anyway. So
yeah.
Sold us. Yeah. Sold
brilliant. We were still having proper meetings then.
Yes, we were.
Then it must be like February or something. February, exciting. Yeah. February. Well, I'll check that out later.
Okay, well, thank you, Joe and everyone.
Thank you.
So,
I'm saying goodnight now, everybody. Bye.
Night, Joe. Bye. You lucky thing. Bye.
Yeah. We've come. The Seaview Dinghy Park fence to consider and agree, but quotes for the Seaview Dinghy Park. This is me. Well, we've only really got two. One's very, very expensive, and we've got a sort of a mid-range one. And whilst this isn't, we've got the money sort of set aside for it in the budget, but whilst we, it's not a great rush, desperate thing to do, I propose that we look around for some other quotes before we agree this.
Barry, could I come in now? I've been looking at those quotes.
Yeah.
And I think, I'll tell you what my problem is with any of it. I don't think we should consider anything in timber.
No, absolutely not. We
this is for the long haul.
Yeah.
I believe we need concrete post.
Yeah, totally.
I would just like to state from experience that if it means just waiting till next spring, if we've got to wait a little longer to raise the additional funds to the budget to provide the concrete post, I just think we need to go along that road. Yeah, and in the meantime, we can be collecting some more quotes.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So a general appeal here, because just to explain, I've actually been trying to get quotes for these for quite some time, and what I've found is, unfortunately, and I'll give you an example of one company, I think they're called RHF Fencing, or based over in Yarmouth. When I was contacting them only a few weeks ago, they won't give us a quote because of COVID. They can't get material, so they're not doing any new fencing quotes for the foreseeable future. So this is problematic. This is an example of one, and I think a couple have been like that when I've spoken to them.
Is a local guy, Tony Brett. And I've just thought of someone else as well, so...
Barry, if you want to give me those details afterwards, because that would be so good to have some other...
Yeah, I've just thought of two people as we speak.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I did look at both estimates in thoroughness, and as you say, one the advantage is he's not vatable, so therefore that's what saves a considerable part. But I agree with Dave. What the final result should be, if we're going to spend the money, we want to make sure it lasts for considerable time, so it's got to be the concrete procedure.
I could see from what happened in the past is that really for the last X number of years, we've been spending hundreds of pounds every year replacing the wooden posts. So it was a false economy, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
In the first place. So you can see that,
This is our opportunity to get it right and get some more quotes in. And can I propose that we do that? So we don't do it now, we'll get some more quotes.
Yeah, well, what we can do is you can just drop this resolution for now and say we're going to look for more quotes here.
Okie dokie. Right, the next item is the Kerryfields play area, and we're currently fogging the rides and the swings and things like that. But following the science, the person who's doing it for us is saying that with the change in temperature at the time of the year, the fogging machine is really not effective deterrent anymore, and even he, who's going to lose money, suggests that we don't do it anymore.
Yeah. And it's just basically it's got to the point where as this weather's going to change into autumn, Clean White Cleaning have been doing it for us have basically said they can carry on doing it and taking our money, which actually we hadn't budgeted for in the first place. We've been making this money up because obviously COVID wasn't planned for in our budget last year. We hadn't even heard of it. Luckily we saved money for a couple of months because they weren't cleaning for us at all. So actually there's been money in their budget. Yeah. But now it's getting to the point where actually we've used up that spare money, and it was actually suggested by the cleaners off that probably as we get into autumn and it rains, it's not actually even going to work, and so it's actually a waste of money. And that was very good of them to proactively volunteer that information to us. So it's just to have a resolution from you guys that, because we've changed the signage and everything, but to have a resolution from you guys that's suggesting perhaps from October the 1st onwards that we stop fogging the...
I propose exactly what you said, Brian.
Yeah.
Second it.
Mike seconded that.
Yeah.
We have a vote, guys.
Yep.
All on? We've lost one.
Unanimous. Okay, thank you very much.
That is a thumbs up. Okay. Right, Paul Flowerbeds. Had a meeting with Sally, Lynn, Brian and I. With John from Care in the Garden, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Care in the Garden. And we agreed a plan ahead, and he was going to get back to us.
You've jumped ahead, Barry. It's the Kerryfields play area, yeah. I was looking, because I have it in my folder here. You confused me.
I thought I'd already spoken about Kerryfields.
Yeah. But it's not a big one anyway.
I think I
should
read the agenda first.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. To consider and note the 2020 inspection report and discuss any issues. Brian?
Yeah, so just to give you a quick heads up, we got our safety inspection done finally after COVID restrictions were released. The headlines are that the safety inspector, for the first time that I can see ever, complimented the parish council on the steps that have been taken in the last year and the improvements made. So well done, councillors, on agreeing to the actions that allowed that to happen. The main things that need to be addressed are we need to get signs made up, permanent signs, that say you shouldn't have dogs in there, you should use a softball, things like that. We also need to budget in for next year, replacing many of the fence posts which are rotten on the outside of the fencing. And there's a couple of areas of matting, but luckily none of these are actually high or even medium risk. We've eliminated those from last year, so we've improved a great deal on the safety side of it, which is very good. So it was just, has anyone got any questions from that safety report or anything that they'd want me to clarify?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
No, I would just like to say that it looks really good up there from the road, but I never see any children in there using it.
Oh, I do.
All back to school. Yeah,
my nephews and nieces use it all the time.
Yeah, so does my daughter, actually. Yeah, so she loves it. Yeah. Good for me. Yeah.
Okay.
No further questions, thank you.
Right, so to repeat what I said about the meeting we had concerning the flower, we've agreed a sort of a, on the back of a fact packet design of where to go forward with the flower beds. And John was going to get back to us so we could discuss.
Barry, he did literally 30 minutes before the meeting.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, so wow.
This is brilliant. So
and
basically,
you didn't update me.
I was trying to, but you wouldn't log into the meeting. So,
I know you have that one. You were
playing hard to get, Barry. So basically, what he's suggesting is that looking at the original footprint you can see in the picture inside the cafe, he can return the get rid of that flower bed on the end, put the turfing in place and sort out all those strips of paving to make them 2 and 3 wide as appropriate for the trolleys to go over,
This isn't any planting of flowers, but this is all the infrastructure work that needs to happen.
That's right.
Would be £1,800, which was inside our budget, which was, you know, the sort of thing we're looking for. We were looking to spend up to four overall, and this is without any planting, £1,800 to get the infrastructure sorted out. And it's the first stage, basically, to make sure the grass takes before the winter kicks in, that kind of stuff. So we do have a figure.
It'll be mature by the time we come to plant.
Yes, yeah, basically, yeah. It's to get that stage done before the really hard winter kicks in.
And so we're talking
£1,800.
You're going to start that next month then, probably.
Yes, if you guys agree to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have the budget. We put it aside. We'd plan to do this. Yeah, it's later in the year than we'd planned to. We were going to do it in the spring, but obviously we didn't get the chance.
Well, I think it's something that really needs doing, and I propose that we accept that quote.
I'll second that.
Propose to accept quote, yeah.
And all those in favour? Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. That's great. That's a really good project, that.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Right, are you going to read this out, or am I reading this out, Brian?
Yeah, so with the Warren's Boatyard Pros, this is the one where if anyone's got any questions of Sally, Sally can answer some questions or put some more information around this, but then we will have to put her into the waiting room while it's discussed and voted upon, because she does have a prejudicial pecuniary interest in this, because it's a family, a husband's business.
So, Sally, is it you or Nick that's going to talk to us?
Oh, I'm the only one here.
Okay.
So it can be me.
Okay. So do you want to fill us in on what we're
okay.
being
I'm not feeling very confident. Anyway, Warren's has been around since 1931, and it supports the sort of sailing and boating industry in the village. It's the only boat builder in the village. That building next to the yacht club is in a bad state, and you saw that the planning application went in, which was granted back in June, to do, first of all, some remedial work. But we thought we'd take, as a business, the opportunity to see if we could improve the use of the space there, because it's got quite a lot of head height. And to do that, we put an expression of interest in to the Rural Development Programme for England, and we were successful in that, and we were asked to work up a full application, which we're doing at the moment. This is European money, and the reason we have come to the Parish Council is that we have to demonstrate support and need for this project in the community. And if we get the funding that we're after, and it's a competitive process, so it's not in the bag, we have to write a good application. We will be able to certainly protect the jobs that are there, if not add to it. We hope to be able to take on more people and to develop the business and to make it fit for purpose in the 21st century. So really, I was just seeing if you could, as a parish council, write a letter in support of us generally. And I was trying to pick out some of the key indicators that the grant assessors will be sort of marking us against, if you like, which I felt the parish council could happily, if they were in agreement, you know, write a broad letter of support.
Okay.
That's my case.
Okay, thank you, Sally. Well, the two questions I have is, the first one is there any financial implication for the parish council?
No.
And is there any ongoing commitment liability for the parish council?
No.
It's just simply, we support what you're doing.
Yeah, that's my request. Yes, please.
Are we just basically saying that, you know, it's a good, viable business and part of the community and local people work for you, that type of thing?
It is that type of thing, yeah.
Like you had something to say.
Well, yeah, I mean, the important part is, you know, businesses in Seaview are limited, and so therefore, I mean, there is a facility which I'm looking at on the apprentice format, and, you know, if we can put something in that it's a long term.
Mike, what I would say is, have you got a question for Councillor Rivlin?
Well, I was just wondering.
Because if you want to start the debate, I should, yeah.
I'm just highlighting that are we, you know, supporting something for the community in the business, and I can't see a problem for us in doing that. And I just wanted to know, as you said, that she just said, hopefully
increasing employment in our community.
Okay.
Right, so if we're going to have a little conversation about it, can we put Sally away?
Sally, I'll temporarily put you into the soundproof booth if I can find you on my list. Right. Thank you. Right, Councillor Ribbon's now in the waiting room.
Well, I don't see any particular reason why we shouldn't support this business. Dave?
Right, it's my concerns are, I believe our clerks put this on the agenda in good faith, as the parish hasn't been supplied with any information. We have no information or reports on this. My questions are, where is the information? Where's the report? We should be in possession of the information well in advance of this meeting. Without the information, how do we know that this will benefit the community? Is there a community benefit? We don't know. Because from where I'm sitting, I haven't enough information to make an informed and balanced decision. And this, to me, appears to be a private issue, and it appears it's being used for personal gain. That's it.
Phil, I'm going to just go round the councillors, then I'll come to you. Mike?
I mean, all I see is the fact that a business in CVU is just asking for a backup to get grant money for an outside facility, which is not costing us as a parish. So, you know, I mean, all I would say is that with the present concern, the climate we're in employment and unemployment potentially in difficulty with a lot of companies, and there's no financial gain or cost or implications to the parish in this situation, you know, I would feel that it'd be sad if we didn't support.
Yeah.
Becky? I just feel it sets a precedent, Mike. Where do you stop? Do we do it for everyone?
Well, it's not costing us anything.
We have done similar things before, like we've supported a grant application that the Yacht Club made to Sport England because it was going to benefit local youngsters. I don't see it as being significantly different from that, but that's just my opinion.
And we did support them with quite an extensive planning application back in June, I think Sally said, you know, mezzanine floor and strengthening this, that and the other and stuff. And, you know, if it's a business that's going to stay there, if it's a business that's going to support local people, and it hasn't cost the parish council anything, and there's no long-term liability or commitment, what's the letter? Biz?
I think if it supports local business, it is a local business, it has been there for years, and it does employ, to my knowledge, a couple of local lads. I don't have a problem either, actually, with this one.
Okay, right, Philip.
There's nothing to do with him.
Hello. Yes, can you hear me?
No. But I'm just wanting to be inclusive. Phil?
Yes.
Can you?
I've already done it.
Oh, you can hear me. Sorry. Yeah, just a couple of things. And I've noticed it actually on the agenda throughout to consider and agree. I'm sure it's not meant to sound like that, but it sounds a little kind of prejudiced in terms of the fact to consider and agree. You know, but never mind. I'm sure that.
But Philip, I use that language because it's recommended in one of the training courses on the.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
right, okay.
And it's a recommended for.
It's been all throughout.
I just said it has been all throughout. But this concept that it's outside money, it isn't outside money. This money is contributed by us, the taxpayers. And it does come from our government, even though it states it's EU money overall.
The government is covering that.
You understand? Our government is covering it. That means us. That's so it is an internal thing. Whether you consider it to be a good thing or a bad thing, you've got a Chamber of Commerce. Why can't you go to them? I just think it is very borderline for a council to start supporting this kind of thing. That's all I want to say. I mean, I'm not on your council, but if I was on the council, well, I still am on the council, I know I would find it very difficult to support something like this.
Okay, thank you, Philip. Dave, did you want to say something? Dave Barry?
I think any business that employs people in Seaview has got to be supported. I mean, I don't know if it's supported by the parish council, but as a local, I think, you know, I've got three children. Any business is a good thing.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Right, okay, so...
Is it gone again?
So,
But where's the report, the proof that it's going to support these jobs?
Well, where's I suppose for an application, a copy of their application. Or what we could do is maybe get the documentation that they're going to look at, fill in or whatever, before we consider this at another meeting.
I would like to see some sort of evidence, Barry. No, that's all.
That is a good thing.
Supporting the business in Seaview, not at all. But where's the information? Where's the report? We need something that we can look at, physically look at.
Yeah. Okay, should we try that then?
Yeah.
So you're proposing to ask for more information from the...
Yeah. Applicants. So we can have a nice, clean audit trial, if you like, Dana.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to bring Sally back in, Brian?
And I'll talk. Wait, one second, you haven't had a vote yet.
Oh.
We are proposing to see more information... from applicants.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're proposing that, are you, Barry?
I'll propose that.
And who's seconding it?
Dave.
Dave's second. And who's supporting asking for that? One, two, three. So three supporting. Any against asking for that information?
No, just abstain.
Abstaining?
I'll abstain.
Two abstains. Okay, thanks.
Back
right, that's that one dealt with then. So we can bring Sally back in.
Hello, Sally.
Hello. On to the next one now.
Yep.
And the next one is Parish Notice Boards Renovations. To discuss and agree a donation of £50 in recognition of their contribution to maintaining the parish notice boards.
Yeah, so this is just to say the men in sheds have actually been involved in maintaining three boards, actually creating a new, well, bringing one back to the Dover soon. I think I'll be helping Mr. King put that one in place. Renovating the one in Coors Avenue and currently in flight doing work on the one on the outside of Lily's.
Yeah. I propose that.
So I was just going to ask how many boards that represented since we have paid some monies towards doing one board, I see in the accounts. But
that was actually paying a builder to put brand new posts in.
Yeah.
That wasn't to mend in sheds. Unfortunately, the posts had rotted.
Well, it was to Jonathan King, which must mean that it's...
Oh, no! Sorry, that's to pay for the materials.
Yes. So so in that we have already given... I just wanted to understand that it was more than...
Sorry.
One, that was all.
Sorry, yeah.
Was no timber post?
Probably. So I'd like to propose that we give them 50 quid. Mm.
Take it.
I agree.
Second. Yeah. Everyone in favour?
Yeah.
Unanimous.
All right. Okay. Correspondence, please.
Correspondence. Okay, there's been lots, because it's been a couple of months, you'll have seen lots and lots and lots of correspondence I've sent to you, which you've seen lots of tree preservation orders, tree works, all that sort of thing. To save everybody, there's only a couple I was going to read out tonight. One is, I've got a letter from Victim Support, which was, remember we gave them a grant and we also followed up with a question. Yeah.
Oh.
And we asked, could they demonstrate how it was spent in the community? And the reply we got was very polite. It was, dear Mr. Jennings, I write to thank your members for the cheque for £50 towards our services. The donation is a most welcome contribution enabling us to provide help to victims of crime and their families in their local community. Your support of our organisation is very much appreciated. Without the support of councils such as yourselves, we would not be able to provide the level of support the victims of crime in your area deserve. Yours sincerely, Lisa Jones. So it didn't really demonstrate that. We got a nice thank you, but it didn't really demonstrate where it was.
I suppose they're coming from a position of confidentiality of their client.
Potentially.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then a fresh letter today from Mr. Grillo. You know, we've had lots of letters from Mr. and Mrs. Grillo in the past about an ongoing situation with footballs in their back garden.
Oh,
and the later one was today, and I don't have time to distribute to you all. And he did say, Dear Brian, as there is a parish council meeting scheduled tomorrow, I thought I should give you all an update on our situation as it stands. The Hampshire Football Association has responded to my correspondence. However, the person who normally deals with such a matter is furloughed. In addition, I'm still waiting response from Lee Matthews, the Isle of Wight Council, who's also furloughed until October. Needless to say, all this furloughing doesn't help our situation in any way whatsoever. All these local government employees perhaps should have been the first to return to work, particularly as we are all paying for their salaries out of our taxes. He did say a couple of weeks ago, Councillor Ward made an impromptu visit to the recreation ground on a Tuesday night when training was taking place. He called around to visit them, and he and his wife really appreciated that he was trying to get a feel for the situation, and he thought it was a great gesture and very proactive. So, so that was so they those residents have appreciated Councillor Ward's empathy in that situation. So they're the only ones that's going to read out everything else you've seen, and there are lots of pre-preservation orders. And I don't particularly think you want me to go through that wedge of them, explain them all to you again. So that was that.
But actually,
I've made one up that says you can cut down trees in the donkey field.
But it worked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finance. So receipts. Any questions about the receipts for the last month's report?
Can I just ask how far into our year are we? When's our year end?
By the end of September, we're 6 months in.
We're halfway in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Yeah. Any questions about payments? Because it's from the last couple of months. There's quite a lot.
What do we think a newsletter is? What do we need money in the bank for?
Oh, that's for the Beacon.
Yeah.
Do you have to pay to put stuff in there?
Yeah
it's about £300.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a quarter. But it's got good coverage. That's why the council's
It's got to be done. It's got to be done. Otherwise, we'll end up with the technology question again. Some people will be disenfranchised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be done.
Thank you.
What's that bacon cost? £300 a quarter.
Yeah. That it might. It's actually probably a bit less than that. That's with VAT, so it's 200 and something because we get the VAT back. So it's something like. Oh, hang on. Have we paid any of it yet? Yeah, it's £265.50,
yeah.
But with the VAT it gets to about £300. That's good, yeah.
And so that's half a page, is that right?
Yes, yeah. That's a half a page on a quarterly basis. We didn't have any grants this month. No grant applications. So, any other questions about finance?
No. Okay. Well done.
Yeah.
Well. Right, thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
It's the info section, Barry, where you can ask all the councillors if they've got any last...
I know. No resolutions can be made.
No, that's right.
Anybody got anything to put forward?
Please, I ask what you decided on the Warren's letter?
There's going to be a request for some information, Sally, which I'll forward to you in an email in the morning. Okay.
Okay, so I'll go round the councillors as I see them on the screen. Not in there anyway, so Dave.
Good night all.
Right, Dave. Thank you very much for all that you've done today.
Yeah.
Good night to everybody.
Yeah, no.
Becky?
No, I haven't got anything else to say.
Mike?
I just think we ought to make sure that, Brian, that we keep following up on the Nettleston with the assistant, secretary, Thomas. The other thing, just to give you an update, my cycling, I've only got 48 miles to complete my 4,000, and to date I've raised 3,697. I've got 48 miles to go, but now with gift aid, its total was 4,281. So.
Oh, well done, Mike. 4,281?
Yeah.
Well done.
Right. Actually, I think we can have a little news update on the parish website for that. 48 miles. Do you want to go for those 48 miles now?
I have got something to say, which is a very big thank you to Brian from the parishioner that asked you about to get hold of the highways people for the mucky end of the walk to Priory Bay.
A very big
thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Right. Well, if that's it, I've got nothing to add. No, thank you all for coming. And just to let you know that we'll be talking to arrange the date for the
emergency one.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Barry, we can catch up about that and set a date for next week to do that.
Yep. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.